This is Tim Murdoch, and you're watching White Rabbit Radio Live for Friday, March 21st. Do I have the right date on the show? Well, I guess I do. Hopefully you guys are doing okay out there. Let's see what we got going on here. France Foreign Ministry has advanced French citizens to leave Iran. Yeah, Orchid Man, what's up? Aaron White, salute! Hunter Wallace tweets out he doesn't care who killed JFK or why they killed him. I think we know enough about Hunter to just disregard everything he says. No, Hunter's not a bad guy. Some people are interested in other elements of realpolitik. They're not just interested. I've never been interested in conspiracy theories behind JFK either. I just think it's funny that out of all the conspiracy theories that made prime time, the smoking gun shit, the Hollywood producers and, you know, who shot JFK. No one entertains Israel, and then it just comes blazing back in thanks to white nationalists in America preparing everyone. You know, Michael Collins Piper. But not everyone's interested in that type of thing. I mean, historically, I'm not a JFK buff. I don't really care for the guy. I just think that aspect of it's funny. Hunter doesn't really care about any of that stuff. Or maybe he does in another way. I don't know. So I wouldn't take it personal. It's just online shit. It's just someone articulating where they're at in their life, you know. It's like me. I don't get upset over people. And we're going to talk about that tonight because I have an interesting email that came in. Well, let me make sure I have it. Yeah, I have an interesting email that came in about, you know, Wignats and Hitlerism and kind of, I don't, you know. Esoteric Hitlerism is not something I'm into, but nonetheless, you have to treat World War II like religion, and you can get around religion. I historically have gotten around religion. You know, I dress it, but I dress it in my own way, and one of the challenges is that you have, you know, different sides butting heads usually over religion, and World War II is religion. It will be to whites. It's just the way it is. Now, some people have resolved itself to like, well, let's just get over religion. And you can do a lot of things politically and get over and around religion without really discussing it head on, without butting heads, without trying to solve things that we can't solve. Orkin Man. And we can't solve World War II for various different reasons I'll go into yet. The Nazis did too many crazy things, and we have too much going on as a result. The assassination of JFK was an exercise of international Jewish power. I don't have a problem with that. Well, I don't think they were the only ones involved. I think they were part of a group of conspirators, and they appear to be one of the more active parts of the group, because how many people involved in the assassination are Jewish? So they appear to be very active. But to say that they were the only ones involved or that it would have happened just with them, I don't know at the time if they would have had enough power within America to not do it or do it. I can't say that one way or another. But if you start talking about the Mossad, as I like to say, and the CIA, elements in there that wanted them dead, elements of the FBI that wanted them dead, elements of the Italian mob that wanted them dead, elements which are tied to the Jewish mob, you know, had deals with Jewish mobs. So you look at all these different people that wanted him dead. Shit. You know, give me a break. JFK tried to stop the Jews from getting nukes. Well, yeah, that's why I always thought they killed him. Or they had a hand in it. You know what I mean? I have no problems with the fact that they had a hand in it. Never have. But the idea that they're the only ones that knew it was coming, no, it was well telegraphed, in my opinion. Elements of Wall Street, too. There was the list of people that wanted JFK dead is long. It's so long that they probably killed his kid as well. Think about it. You know. I bet the Jews killed Swedish Prime Minister Olaf. It could be. The point is Hitler is siding with the Jews on the assassination of JFK and American president. How's he siding with the Jews by saying he doesn't care? He's saying he doesn't care because he was a shit lib and he caused a lot of problems. The policies he put in place, like affirmative action, I don't read it into that. I think people read, they say, I don't like Hunter or I don't like Warren Baylog, and they constantly overread into things. But, you know, maybe he is. I mean, I'm sure there's something in the universe that me and you, Orkin Man, could side with the Jews on, like the earth is round or something. I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't take it personal, though. I don't take it personal. It's just online bants and political opinions, which, you know, have changed. But when you've been around this for any length of time and, you know, you start seeing realpolitik and all of our stuff going mainstream, it starts becoming amusing. The funny thing about the JFK stuff, the funny thing, though, the really funny thing is I get on, and no sooner than I get on here and I have something in my eye. The really funny thing to me is the fact that all this money and time has been spent on all these conspiracy theories, none of them including the Jews, except your white nationalists, you know. So, but I don't know. People can see things in a respectful but different way. I mean, they're all white. Gunmen arrested for karaoke rage. Karaoke rage. Imagine doing karaoke with your gun. It's kind of funny. Doesn't look very happy. Looks like a decent white guy, though. You know, everything becomes this huge scandal anymore. It's just some karaoke rage. Not that big of a deal. I don't know. You see, here's the thing. I don't know that JFK tried to stop a lot of shit. He tried to stop the Israeli nuclear program or was ranting about it. I don't know that he could stop it. He was just ranting about it. Obviously, he couldn't stop it because he's dead. He tried to stop the CIA. Of course, he couldn't stop the CIA. We know that because, well, he's dead. He got shot. He tried to stop, you know, the Italian mob. They were screwing over the Italian mob. The Kennedy family was very corrupt. And they were doing all kinds of things, pissing off all kinds of people. It's kind of like, you know, Icarus. They thought they could fly or something. You're going to have to run about things a little bit different path. Now, I think they could have ran over the Jews, possibly, but you can't run over the Jews and all those other type of groups that wanted you dead. But I don't know. Oh, Hunter's not saying he's fine with Israel stealing nuclear secrets from America. You're extrapolating too much into things. Not saying he's fine with that. He's just saying he doesn't care who killed JFK because JFK was a piece of shit. The face of white rage is right there. It's right there. It's also in my chat. Meet the Czech millennial who's building a utopia in California hayfields. Czech millennial. He wants to build a utopia. All right, 6'7", Jan Sarmak, Sarmak, Czech New Urbanism Evangelist. Oh, man. I don't know. I didn't read the whole entire piece, so I think you're extrapolating that, but may not care. With Israelis killed JFK, I don't care. It's a pretty hardcore position. It flies in the face of modern anti-Semites who say everything the Jews do is terrible, including killing people we hate. But in general, I would have rather it just be like Nazis at the CIA killed them or something. But no, it was the Jews. It was the Israelis. No one can have a laugh anymore. If at least California lets him. So he's trying to build some kind of utopia. He wants to build a utopia in California with all those regulations and crazy shit. Guy's crazy. London Heathrow Airport fire live. Stunning apology issued as first flights take off. Wow. Heathrow Airport was forced to close today following a fire at electrical substation. Some flights have finally started to take off and landing. You remember when we had these electrical substations outside of Silicon Valley that went down? Some type of giant act of sabotage. Not much was made out of that, though. This has the terror cops lead probe into blaze, which sparked Heathrow Airport carnage, as government says it could be shut for days. I don't know if it'll be shut for days. But they had a fire at a electric substation. You know, and this is the problem with all these third world migrants. Everything's primed for perfection, third world invaders. You have whites being dispossessed of the technologies they themselves, our ancestors, created, which we can maintain. And it's a recipe for disaster, and it's a real recipe for disaster if you have foreign groups who hate you. You know, who is the United Kingdom in war with? Well, they're at war with Russia. The people that run the United Kingdom, people that run the City of London, are at war with a lot of different people on the planet. You know, what's the easiest way to cause havoc in our civilizations? We'll take out the electricity. And it's not that difficult to do. So, there you go. But terror cops lead probe. It could be shut for days. I'd be curious to see how long it does actually get shut off for. They are starting to take off, but it's a disaster. But these disasters are going to happen in Western civilization, especially the English-speaking world and Europe, especially as they try to reorganize America. Whoever inside of North America is trying to reorganize America, who knows what type of monkey wrenching could be done? You guys know what monkey wrenching means, don't you? Someone could walk in and just monkey wrench things. It doesn't take much to shut down a substation. I mean, if you're a knowledgeable KGB, not KGB, FSB spy or whatever, someone operating in the United Kingdom, they would have diagrams from it, or Chinese. You know, being a Chinese spy in America would have been extremely difficult, actually, when we were kids. In 2025, not so difficult. The FBI is supposedly opening up a case on Chinese spies like every hour. They got a new case on Chinese spies. They're all over the damn place, the students and everything else. Well, you can thank diversity for all this. So if the lights go out, you can just thank diversity. You can blame all the people around the world you want, but it comes down to diversity. They want a white genocide, the powers that be, and it went out with the fizzle. It went out with the substations going down. This is kind of funny headline, though. I got a chuckle out of this. Flights forced to return to India, the Caribbean, and U.S. as Heathrow shutdown triggers worldwide travel chaos, with more than 200,000 passengers left stranded in airports. Stranded in airports. You're still talking about Hunter? Orchid Man, come on. His position is pro-Zionist. You know, I've never had a problem with Jews having a home. I just have a problem with the fact that they don't like me having a home. They run around and are so destructive. As far as home in Israel, in the middle of the planet, well, that's been a disaster. So no, I wouldn't be taking the pro-Zionist position, but maybe Hunter will. I don't know. Before it's over. I don't remember him being pro-Zionist, though. You know, white Zionism. It's a funny headline, though. Flights forced to return to India. Oy vey. Speaking of the Jews, the turn back to India, the Caribbean, and the U.S. as Heathrow shutdown triggers worldwide travel chaos. More than 200,000 passengers stranded left in airports. That's what the apocalypse is going to start. It's going to start with airport shutdowns, and then everyone's just going to be stranded in the middle of nowhere, heading back to India. Imagine being stranded in the apocalypse in the middle of India. Wow, that would be terrible. Even if you were Indian, it would be terrible. LA budget crisis, deficit approaches $1 billion, layoffs nearly inevitable. This is the funniest thing ever. You have total mismanagement of a city, one of the greatest cities, the City of Angels. And the City of Angels has been totally mismanaged to no end, run right into the ground. You can thank Hollywood for that. You can thank our political class. You can thank your favorite enemy, the Jews. the juice, as we say. You can think Latinos, you can think white, you can think white self-hatred. You know, what's more self-hatred than the quintessential WASP of late 20th century America? Our WASP elite, you know, rolling over and taking it up the keister every day by their by their local the local Hebrew on Wall Street or whatever. It's kind of how that worked. But watching it all fall down, it's kind of ironic because guys like Tom Metzger didn't get to see this. It's all coming full circle. Full-blown crisis. Anyone who is shocked is incompetent. What a title for that one. It's a good paragraph. Anyone who is shocked is incompetent. What's happening now has been obvious for years. Corrupt mayors get into bed with corrupt union leaders and use budget gimmicks to hide the results. Big money has finally hit the fan. Chicago on deck. It's over with. It's game over. Game over. Yeah, I'm going to talk about no, there was elements in the Italian mob over on Rumble, Stone Hellcat. There was elements in the Italian mob that wanted his ass dead. That's for damn sure. I'm just giving you a sense of reality. There's a lot of people that wanted JFK dead. I just think that the funny thing about it was all the stuff that went public in primetime didn't include one of the main, that had to be one of the key main players. You know, I'm not saying the only player. Like, I think elements of the CIA knew it was coming and were okay with it too, and so on and so forth. Hell, Lyndon Johnson may have known it was coming and was okay with it. You know, he's rumored to be Jewish, and wouldn't surprise me. greetings from Mood Sex Shop, Soho, London. Oh my. Send Bob's. World War II propaganda never stopped. That's right. It became a religion, you know. Excuse me while I beat my sister for watching gardening videos clogging up my Wi-Fi. That's funny. I don't know. But L.A. going down, guys. L.A. is going down. And this kid, someone asked me if this was my kid. This is not my kid. But this little guy is, he's a trooper, though. Check out this kid. LBJ was a Shabazz Goy. He helped cover up for Israel. He might have been more than that. He might have been more than that, Orkin, man. More than just a Shabazz. Who knows what he was. He wasn't on our side, that's for damn sure. I think affirmative action and stuff like that would have been put in place in spite of JFK. I think it was going to come into place no matter what, but he definitely sped it along. And I think probably out of some naive, he clearly was naive on a lot of issues.
3, 2, 1, go. Let's go, buddy. You got this. Come on, man. Quick, quick, quick. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Beautiful. Come on. Let's link it out. Woo! Let's go.
That's impressive, huh?
Gorgeous, man. Gorgeous. Let's go. Finish. Hey. There it is. Yes, sir.
Go.
3, 2, 1, go.
It's impressive,
go, buddy,
though.
You got this. Come on, man. Quick, quick, quick. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Beautiful. Come on. Let's link
that's
it
quite
out.
A jump. It's that's Let's what's go. Impressive. That middle part. Gorgeous. That middle part's Gorgeous. The most impressive part.
Finish. Hey. There it is. Yes, sir.
I don't know.
2, 1, go. Let's go, buddy. You got this. Come on, man. Quick, quick, quick. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Beautiful. Come on. Let's link it out. Woo! Let's go. Gorgeous, man. Gorgeous. Let's go. Finish. Hey. There it is. Yes, sir.
Pretty impressive, eh? Little guy was cutting the rug. Here we have impressive. We have, of course, a white woman sleeping with four lions, because why not? If you've got four lions, you got to hang out with them, right? This is very white. Be one of the whiter things you see all day.
It's nighttime and I'm sleeping with the cubs outside. I love you. It's so sweet, I can hear his little heartbeat.
It won't be little for long.
It's nighttime and I'm sleeping with the cubs outside.
Well, this is white people, though. You know, hanging out with animals. You know, here's another white woman. This is one of the whitest things you'll see all day. I let a pine marten sleep on my bed. This is a white woman here. This Save the Fox lady. This is crazy stuff. Imagine having one of these guys in your bed. You know how destructive a pine marten could be in a house? White people. This is white people. Oh, don't get it twisted. They've always been doing stuff like this. This is just our race. Doesn't look too destructive, though. I was waiting for him to start digging or something, just shred the mattress. I think they're in like a Wolverine family or something, right? Mink family? The family, same family as a mink? Marking his territory, probably, pissing on your pillows. I've never seen one. Anyone have one of these inside, though. Of course it's a white woman. Of course it's a white woman. A weird cat. Not quite a cat. You're living the good life, though. He's yawning. He's ready for bed. Or she. Yeah, this Save the Fox lady, she's running quite a big enterprise down there. I don't know. I think the whole entire animal thing has probably been misguided or gone to some type of extreme, but it's always been there. You can't light candles without wicks. I think it's definitely carried away. White people are more too identified with animals than anything else right now. Could be a form of escapism, too, but it's always been there. You know, we like to think something's invented and pushed on us. They're making these white people care for these animals. You don't really have to do that. You can't really make someone do anything. You can just kind of, like, light a candle.
It is St. Patrick's Day, which I feel like is kind of like Finnegan's holiday because he is a red fox.
Oh, she's got a fox named Finnegan. She's saved the fox, so she's got this whole entire elaborate farm to save foxes and probably makes quite a bit of money off YouTube. And it's a foundation. She's saving the foxes.
His name is Finnegan, which is very Irish. So we're going to go give him a special treat. I got one right here.
Oh.
And then I got some extra ones for the other foxes in case they get jealous. So let's go. Let's find him. There he is.
Somewhere near a freeway in America. You have a bunch of rescued foxes in a giant fence pen. Giant fence pen.
My baby. Hi, Finny. Hi. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Are you a good boy? Are you a good boy, huh? He's a good boy.
Of course, you're going to feed your fox a St. Patrick's Day cookie. Why not?
I just shove in your mouth, huh?
He's out chilling and hanging out.
Boy! I love you.
Of course you do. There's a white woman. Who wouldn't want to be a fox owned by a white woman, though?
Nice. Sit. Wait, Sid.
I've never seen a fox like this.
Here you go. One. Good girl. Hi, Serafina. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Good girl. Good girl, Serafina.
Oh, wow. What do you guys think?
For over a year now, there are 100 foxes left. We started with 500, but donations have really slowed down. In the last
500 foxes?
This month, we were $27,000 over budget. So with the way things stand right now, we can't rescue any more animals. We can't get the last 100 out. So if you were able to donate, that would be awesome. And I hope you can tell by our videos that we give our animals.
I think what she did was she was making enough money off YouTube and donations. She probably overbuilt the whole entire scenario. 500 foxes is a lot to take care of. You go through money very quickly. I think they don't like cookies. Well, it's probably some type of fox treat she made them. Made them look like cookies, I think. You know, he's gagging. All these wild animals are safer than blacks. It's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah, this is what happens. You know, you got this channel and you're making all this money. You're bringing in all this money and she's using money to help save these foxes. But 500, that's a lot. So they had to get down to 100 and they're 27,000 over budget. Yikes. Sounds like an issue, huh? Would you let a robot draw your blood? Northwestern among health systems trying new device. A robot drawing blood. I don't know. I've seen some nurses draw blood that do a pretty bad job, though, finding a vein and whatnot. I don't know that a robot would do better. Kind of mixed. We'll have to see exactly what the Asians do with the robots. She's making owning animals gay. Well, she's not owning them. She's just taking care of them. Fucker needs to quit clicking at you, huh? You like the animals, keep the robots away from you. I don't know. You got a choice between a nice white robot drawing blood or Shaniqua. What do you choose? Roll dice on that robot? Was a robot programmed by Bajit? I hope not. Hope not. That's the problem, isn't it? The problem with robots, where is it programmed? The Japanese, I trust. The Chinese, I don't know. The Chinese might engineer them to kill us. White engineers we'd have to trust, I guess. Israeli engineers we couldn't trust. They'd engineer them to kill us, just like the Chinese. You know, the Japanese, I guess, is about the only other thing we could trust. Robots, is that the new euphemism? No, it's the real deal, though. Let's see here. In general, it's hard to have positions you agree with due to the viral in formats and arguments that are obviously wrong and easily disproven or mocked. The whole model of raising awareness for a mass popular audience is bad. The effect to turn smart new readers off. This is Bronze Age Pervert. Sarah Stock, our new famous right-wing lady spokesman. The blonde right-wing spokeswoman, if you could say that, being promoted right now. It's kind of funny. She sounds very white nationalist-y in this. BAP is right. We should stick to doing nudist Greek LARPing on the internet in our own little echo chambers instead of going out into the real world and trying to shift the Overton window for normal people. This is the key to political success. Totally not subversive at all. She does have a good point, but many others have made the same point for years and years regarding the nudist bodybuilding type cringe fest. That happens from here or there. Let's head on into the news. We've got stuff breaking out of Egypt, though. And yeah, I've seen it, but I assumed it was coming. I mean, what was it, 5 or 6 years ago, Scientific American let that writer talk about the fact that there could have been a very high civilization 250,000 years ago. It died out. What did they say? It died out. It went out from global warming. It's pretty funny. It's absolutely hilarious. So the idea that they're going to bring stuff out on Egypt that are like a little bit mind-blowing, catch people off guard, doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me in the least. Let's see here. Wealthy married lawmaker's anguished statement after he was exposed as client of a high-class brothel. Now, here's the thing. Married Massachusetts lawmaker issued a humiliated statement after being identified as an alleged client of a high-class brothel network. Cambridge City Town Councilor Paul Toner, 58-year-old, released a statement saying, "I caused pain for the people I care the most about." He got caught with a prostitute. I mean, here's the thing. Prostitutes have been around since the beginning of time. Whores we always have with us. It's pretty much, think about all the shit you get busted for, or the elite or people in power could get busted for. Raping children? Check. Doing weird shit like that? You know, all the weird shit, pedophilia, all the weird stuff that they seems to get endlessly covered up on some level. And then all of a sudden you've got someone gets busted and railroaded over prostitution. It's kind of funny, which is totally normal. You've got these dudes. Here's one is Asian. It looks like Asian girls. These are the Asian women, the Asian prostitutes. The Asian prostitutes. Toner and his family live inside a $1.3 million home in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And that's, you know, it's not much of a home in Cambridge for $1.3 million. But, you know, he's not poor either. And so you got these guys, and this one's Asian. It's Asian dude, Mark Zhu, seen here. Probable cause and charged with visiting a brothel at Friday's. Visiting a brothel. So they're gonna prosecute these guys and go all in and spend all this money for visiting a brothel. Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying I approve, disapprove, whatever. I think prostitutes, I mean, if you know anything about history, you have any concept of history at all, there's going to be some prostitutes. There's going to be some whores. These look like Asian whores. And you got one of the dudes that's Asian. So, I don't know. So they prosecute him for this. Out of all the shit you could prosecute, they're prosecuting for whores. Oh, seems like a waste to me, but it's kind of a sign of the times. Looks like AI. It could be an AI knockup of them. But if it was an AI knockup, why wouldn't they show the face? I don't know. It's just artwork. And I don't know that they were Asian. I'm not entirely certain. We do have this. Hold on. Does it give? Let's see. Duo Tiffany and Yoko DDD. This is Tiffany and Yoko DDD. I'm guessing Yoko DDDD, Triple D is the one right there. And she's making some money. She's a money-making girl right there. A body is not a workplace. Oh, it is if you're a whore. Money does not mean consent. It does to whores. Accused high-class brothel clients heckled as they leave court. I mean, you literally have faggots in charge raping children. In the Senate and Congress and all these rumors and stuff like this. And they're worried about, like, normal men paying whores. I mean, what do you think OnlyFans is? I mean, the guys on OnlyFans paying... There's guys right now, sad men. I've never paid anything for OnlyFans, on OnlyFans or anything like that. But, I mean, I've never subscribed to an OnlyFans page. And I'm sure most of my viewers, if not all of them, probably have not either. I can't imagine anyone that has, actually, watching my show. But they're out there. I mean, these things are well subscribed to, OnlyFans and stuff like that. And they're spending, what do they spend, like $20, $10 a month or something like that? You're better off finding a high-end prostitute. Cheaper and makes more sense to me. You know, I mean, it's like something men have always done. I don't know about women always doing it, but, you know. Whatever. So, did global warming cause the mud floods? I think that's what the elites are going to tell us. Yeah. It's going to be their excuse. Let's see. Are 9 p.m. available? Donations for Kara or Tina or Mimi or Alina. Peach. 9 p.m. is available. There is no discount for BB. What is BB? If you get caught making direct deals with the girls, we won't accept any more appointments. Uh-oh. Also, if you go into GFE and upgrade to BB, what the hell is GFE? What is BB? Someone explain this. Please pray for, please, I said, please please pray first. It says, please pay first. Okay. Do not share with other girls. They don't like it. Okay. GFE services. Girlfriend, maybe? I don't know. Girlfriend escort. Okay. 30 minutes, $240. 60 minutes, $340. Up to two shot. Up to two shot. Oh, 90 minutes, $540. 120 minutes, $640. BB services. 30 minutes, $390. BB equals without CD. I don't even know what this stuff means. BB 60 minutes, $450. One pop. BB 60 minutes, two pops, $540. BB 90 minutes, $740. BB 120 minutes, $840. All right. All right. They sought indictments against 28 men accused of using the brothels at a court hearing. Think about all the things they could prosecute. I mean, if anything, ship these Asian women out of the countries. You know, we need to get back to the days when there were like nothing but white whores. I'm just kidding. Don't take it personal. Oh, girlfriend experience. Oh, that's what it means? Girlfriend experience? Okay. Girlfriend experience, GFE. I thought it was girlfriend escort or like out on dates or whatever. Tim, do you know what happened to Chris Cantwell? No, I do not. I don't know. I know that he's on probation, and if you're on the one of the problems with the system that is always pointed out, especially the legal system, is once you're on probation, it's very easy to pull you back in the system. Once you're in jail, it's very easy to keep you in jail because there's a lot you can get in trouble for. Think about it. Think about all the shit you can get in trouble for in jail, just like defending yourself. Let's say you have to defend yourself against a couple guys and one of them ends up getting seriously injured. You're going to get another 3 to 5 years off that. Depending on how bad he's injured, you could get 10. They just keep you in prison. And that's the challenge. You can't really do anything. You just got, I don't know. It's tragic. Sounds like they don't want you to go around the pimps. Yeah, that's what it sounds like, doesn't it? But think about all the shit you could throw people in jail for. In charge. Weird sexual shit. That's illegal. Like kids. God only knows how much child porn is at the top of this civilization. And all that weird shit like that. Think of Jeffrey Epstein and all that weird shit. But here's just, you know, wealthy married lawmakers have prostitutes. Think about it. Such bullshit. You know. I don't know. It's absolute insanity, though. What do you guys think? Much to do about nothing? I just think it's funny what they prosecute over. Let's see here. Here's a guy and his family. So he had a prostitute. All right. Were they spending taxpayer money on it? Well, that might have been a problem. Prosecutors say these stringent checks revealed the brothel's visitors, including public officials, military officers, high-level government contractors, doctors, professors, and CEOs. All right. Prosecutors said they paid up to $600 per hour for sexual encounters with predominantly Asian women who were being exploited through sex trafficking. Chinese mob. They say the Chinese mob is all over the East Coast. What do they call the triads? Intriguing. Mark Zhu, I think that's a Chinese name. Could be wrong, though. What do I know about the Chinese? Bada bada bang 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 bang. Boston area brothel locations. It's like they all have nice apartments, nice locations. But advocates for the prostitutes say naming the men can help shame them and others into not paying for sex and lower the demand for sex workers. You literally have all these idiots subscribing to OnlyFans when they could be, you know, getting a Yoko Triple D for not much more. I mean, you're going to spend a bunch of money on porn. You might as well get some real stuff. Would be my philosophy. I mean, all right, say you're some lonely dude, whatever. You're not good looking. You know, you don't want to go to the gym. You don't want to get in shape. You don't want to do any of that stuff, or maybe you want to take your time. You don't want to do OnlyFans or porn? Well, there you go. You got Tiffany and Yoko Triple D at $8.40 an hour. Whatever. Well, think about it. I mean, of course you get prosecuted. The idiots watching OnlyFans don't get prosecuted. Oh. What are you guys talking about, Odyssey? Well, maybe Odyssey will survive, and maybe it'll just get replaced by Rumble. It's funny you guys know what GFE means. I don't know what GFE means. I figured it was something girlfriend, though. Triad, yes, I've always thought they were more West Coast, Midwest. I've heard that they're all up and down the East Coast with these big Asian populations that moved into Boston and New York. But that's just a rumor. I don't know anything about Chinese gangs any more than I know about the Yakuza. But they obviously, they swim among the fish. You know? Tiffany and Yoko Triple D. Look out. Look out. Goodbye, midlife crisis. Sadly, the law of happiness isn't U-shaped anymore. They're talking about all these depressed young guys. Whole videos being made out of all these guys, these young men that have no opportunity. Young women, there's pretty much opportunity for. It might be only fan modeling opportunity, but there is opportunity for young men, young women to a certain extent, unless you want to be a young mom, because a dude can't marry you and can't get out and get a good job to support you. Very difficult, unless you're going in skilled trades or something. I mean, skilled trades, you could be an electrician, you could be a plumber, you got to go down that particular road. It's sad, but they're saying that, you know, it's midlife crisis, we're having a crisis among young men. Well, I'm sure there'll be a solution. I'm sure they'll try to find some kind of big shitstorm to send them in war. International uproar as China executes 4 Canadians for drug crimes and inhumane killing. This is kind of intriguing. Now, from the picture I put this up, everyone thought that the people being executed here were the Canadians. Well, those aren't the Canadians, although some might have been Asians from Canada. There's a lot of Asians in Canada. Those aren't the actual Canadians executed. They haven't shown a picture of them yet, but we do have one. Yeah, quarter life crisis is about right. But let's go into this. Canada condemns China's brutal verdict on execution of 4 Canadians for drug convictions. Most of the world do not want drugs among their populations. People that take their populations seriously, take controlled substances seriously, and you want to mitigate it. You want to mitigate. The best way to mitigate it is through peer pressure, because there's no way you can do it 100%. But having criminals come in from Canada, and who knows what intelligence agency they were working for, you know, the Canadians are voicing concern over Canada's legal system, strained Canada-China relations, you know. Yeah. International uproar as China executes 4 Canadians for drug crimes and inhumane killings. Now, again, they're showing these pictures, and everyone assumes these pictures are the Canadians, but they are not. My understanding is this is one of the Canadians. And a handout photograph released in 2019 shows Canadian Robert Lloyd Schellenberg during his retrial on drug trafficking charges in China's northeast province. One of China's northeast. Chinese police have condemned men into special execution van. Here's an image. This is one of the guys, he's screaming before he gets executed. Just take it like a man. I mean, you're going to sell drugs in China. This is one of the, but he's not Chinese at all. That's one of the Canadians, supposedly. We'll have to see. They wear dual citizens. China does not recognize dual citizenship. I agree with China. I agree with that, too. Yeah, you don't want to get caught in China selling drugs, or you're toast. By the way, you don't want to get caught in China being a CEO and ripping off people as well, because you're toast. You know? You think that guy's Jewish? I don't know. He could be. He could be. There might be some Jews in this group. That might be why we don't have their pictures. I don't know that this guy is, though. I mean, the Wignat chats think everyone's Jewish. So pictures aren't DNA. You got to remember that European Jews look like us. We don't look like them. Robert Lloyd Schellenberg. Robert and Lloyd are not Jewish names. Schellenberg, it's a German name. You know, and a lot of Jews have German names, usually changing around a little bit. I don't know, though. He could be. You might have made the call there. I can't tell. Trudeau blasts China for sentencing Canadian to death.
The government, we actually strengthened the to always intercede, strengthened the policy that requires the Canadian government to always intercede on behalf of Canadian facing the death penalty anywhere in the world. We will continue to do that as we have in this case. But I will say it is of extreme concern to us as a government, as it should be to all our international friends and allies, that China has chosen to begin to arbitrarily apply death penalty in cases facing, as in this case, facing a Canadian.
Yeah, I think there are Chinese Jews that look very Chinese, that look very Jewish, but there are some that look very Chinese. It's kind of tough. You know, we tend to operate on well-chosen examples in our particular world. Yeah, Schellenberg could be Jewish. It could be. Robert isn't necessarily a Jewish name, though. He could be part. He could be a, what do they call a quarter one? What do you call a quarter Jew? Quarter bagel? Looks like an incel meme all grown up. Well, he's in China selling drugs, so he's probably had a pretty wild party life. I doubt he was an incel. You said Berg. Yeah, Schellenberg. Schellenberg was his last name, but that's a German name. It's not necessarily Jewish. I'm just pointing out the facts. I don't know, though. It's confirmed Andrew Schultz is a non-secular Jew. They're out there, all over the place. Yeah, Musk Doge goons accused of breaking into peace agency building. I think it's funny these guys are just running roughshod over all these establishment, agencies that have been taboo for so long, and the elites are in an uproar because one segment of the elites is trying to redo America to salvage it, and the others just are trying to police their own little fiefdom. It's not a typical German name. I don't know how common it is. There's a handful, I should say, probably more than a handful of German names in the English-speaking world, places like America and Canada, that are not common at all. If you really look at the German names and the Polish names and, hell, even the Hungarian names that the Jews took and made their own and cut them off and rearranged them and whatnot, they usually took common names. They didn't take uncommon names. Doesn't mean he isn't Jewish. I'm just pointing out again. We're just talking. Yeah. Like Tom Metzger had a conventional common German name, but it was also common for Jews to use it. Again, that's a great example would be Tom Metzger's name. Wignatz would probably think he's Jewish these days, which, you know, it comes to the territory, I guess. Hopefully you guys are doing okay out there. But Musk Doge goons accused of breaking into peace agency building. Well, they're not breaking in. They got a license. Deranged Hollywood star says Elon Musk is literally killing people. Look out.
He said, you know, Musk is kind of this arch villain of late stage capitalism, and he seems like this clown and this buffoon.
Hold on here. This is actor and Blue Anon Spock's John Cusack says Elon Musk twice made a Sieg Heil Nazi salute and is literally killing people by helping cut government spending. He says by accessing the Treasury Department metadata, Musk knows everything people like Cusack are searching for on the internet. Holy shit. Hold on, let's read this because I don't want to play the whole thing. Musk is a pathological liar. He is a criminal. He's a sociopath. That could all be true. And a ghoul. I don't know about a ghoul. I could go on, and I mean these firms very precisely, and those firms very precisely, who else would use his own child as a sympathy prop and literally taking starving people all over the world. He's literally killing people. All right. Got people all pissed off at Elon Musk. He's becoming the whipping boy for this reorganization from the oligarchy.
But like Alex said, you know, this is a man who made a Sieg Heil Nazi salute, not only in public, but at a presidential victory party.
I'm just waiting for you guys to scream in the chat about John Cusack's genealogy. Did you guys know what John Cusack is?
It's good to remember that these are unprecedented times of mass criminality going on in the United States right now. And that, like Trump, Musk is a pathological liar. He's a criminal. He's a sociopath and a ghoul. And I mean those terms very precisely, because who else would use his own child as a sympathy prop while literally taking starving aid away from people all over the world? He's literally killing people. People are going to die because of this madness. He's a man who threw 80,000 people from the VA out of work indiscriminately. And as far as the plunder, I would urge everybody to really follow Bernie Sanders' Fighting Oligarchy tour and listen to what he has to say, because the list of abuses is too big to even tackle.
Yeah, it's the Bernie Sanders versus the elite, guys. The Bernie Sanders versus the elite. He's been in Hollywood all these years, and he's speaking out about Elon. Okay. The flat earth. Yeah, who knows? Who knows what the elite might try to tell us, might try to make us believe. Let's see, Matt Walsh. He's rustling Jimmy's here by saying white nationalist shit. Let's listen. Yes, this country was born through colonization and conquest, and I'm very proud of that.
Is our civilization one that we should be proud of?
I've turned the camera off for this. We'll see what he has to say. It's nice to hear our basic talking points repeated.
Even in spite of its history of conquest? No. Not in spite of that history. I'm proud of it in large part because of that history. It is one of the great triumphs of all time that our forefathers had to first conquer an ocean in order to then land on a giant mass of uncharted wilderness filled with untold dangers and wild beasts and, yes, primitive warring tribes, many of whom practiced human sacrifice and cannibalism, and who, if they captured you, would torture you for fun and rape your wife and children before killing you, maybe eating your internal organs and taking your family as their property. And yet, in the face of those unimaginable horrors, our forefathers and ancestors conquered this entire hemisphere and settled it and single-handedly dragged it out of the Stone Age and built from the wilderness the greatest civilization the world had ever known. Am I proud of that? Yes, I am. Now, the natives lived in the Americas.
Oh, this is Matt Walsh.
For 20,000 years. And this is something that the left and the people who hate this country like to bring up all the time. Well, they were here for so long. Yeah, they were here for a long time. What did they do in that time? During that time, they never figured out the wheel. They never figured out written language. Most of them progressed hardly at all over the course of 200 centuries. They were still eating each other and living in tents, many of them. The great tribes of Mesoamerica had advanced the most. And by that, I mean, they had caught up to the ancient Egyptians by the time that the conquistadors showed up. They were building pyramids at a time when Europeans were using the printing press. Then European settlers arrived here, and in less than three centuries, they had established a nation. In another 70 or so years, that nation would stretch across the entire continent from one ocean to another. In another 50 years, they'd be digging a giant trench through the earth to physically connect one ocean to the other. At the same time, they would be building vehicles that can fly through the air. In another few decades, they'd be walking on the surface of the moon. Okay, these settlers took a wilderness sparsely inhabited by hostile Stone Age natives, and in a matter of a few centuries, built the greatest, most advanced, most globally dominant nation the world has ever known.
And all from scratch, all from scratch. The only ingredient you needed was a big piece of land and a lot of white people. India's attacked us all the way up to 1920. That's a very good point. Mr. Ken 87, just getting off work, take some of that wedding cash. Welding cash. I thought you said wedding cash. I was going to say congratulations, welding cash. You know, welders do quite well. I tell these young guys looking for a job, there's all kinds of different places out there to make a living where you can be politically incorrect and make very good money. You don't have to, you're only dealing with shop politics, and white shop politics usually is, you know, doing whatever you want, saying whatever you want, as long as the customer's not around or whatever. But I tell them that all the time, Mr. Ken 87. It's not, I realize it's not optimal for every young man. Some young men want to be lawyers, and if that was what your heart is set on, go be a lawyer. Some want to be doctors, and if your heart's set on it, hopefully a medical school will accept you. But there's a lot of young men in between that don't know what they should do, and you know, it doesn't hurt to have more than one job option, an electrician, plumber. Every time I hire one of you guys, I have to pay them a lot of money. That's all I know. But thank you very much for your generosity.
Am I proud of that? Oh, yes. I am very proud of that. And I will always be proud of that. And I will never apologize for it. Period.
It's your spokesman, Matt Walsh, which isn't bad. I don't disagree with anything you said there. Is there anything we can find fault in this? Orkin man, give me the issues with this. What's your issues? What's the issues with Matt Walsh other than he's soft on Zionism? I know that. But, I mean, like what he said right there, do we all agree with what he's saying right there? I don't know. Yeah, it's all true. I mean, these are basic points like David Duke made in like 1980s. You know, let's play this one here. People are outraged I'm speaking the truth about America's origin. America is not a nation of immigrants. I always say if you think America is a nation of immigrants, if you think our ancestors migrated to America, you're stupid enough to think George Bush migrated to Iraq. No, we came and took it. America was built by settlers. There's a difference. Settlers ventured out in the wilderness, built a civilization from scratch. The modern immigrant comes from a place that is already built. Settlers planted the trees. They did everything.
Today we're going to cancel hundreds, if not thousands of...
Hold on. See, this could be good, too. The fact that this is pissing people off is what I find funny. They're just getting it from all sides. Imagine you're getting it from your Wignat nephew. You're some shit lib out in the suburbs. You can't help it. You're just a shitlet. You're brainwashed. You're getting shit from your Wignat nephew. You're getting called a cuck and all this other type of stuff. And then the next thing you know, you've got these mainstream elements that sound just like your freaking nephew. How funny is that? I love it. Just grind the knife into them. Of course, Matt Walsh isn't going to do anything for me except throw me in jail, so keep that in mind.
Today we're going to cancel hundreds, if not thousands, of people in one fell swoop. We are canceling all of the people who are outraged at me on social media right now. Now, of course, there are always people outraged at me on social media, but there has been an unusually intense wave of it due to something I posted on X yesterday. I was reiterating something I said on the show earlier that day, which itself was a reiteration of something that I've said many times on the show. But here was the post, which has now been viewed 4 or 5 million times. Many of them angry views, a lot of angry viewing going on. And the post said this: America is not a nation built by immigrants. America was built by settlers. There's a difference. Settlers ventured out into the wilderness to build a civilization from scratch. The modern immigrant comes to a place that's already built. Settlers plant the trees. The modern immigrant comes to eat the fruits. If you cannot see the difference, I don't know how else to explain it. Now, as you can imagine, there are many angry responses to this, and I can't read them all, but let me give you a representative sample. I'll read 5 or 6 of these and give you the flavor of how people are responding. First one says, slaves shipped from Africa provided the white settlers, colonizers, free, bonded, lifelong slave labor, while white settler colonizers killed Native Americans. A civilization to be proud of? Another says, the Americas were already inhabited by tens of millions, maybe even hundreds of millions of indigenous people long before colonizers arrived.
Hundreds of millions, no way.
Another says, you constantly dog whistle for white supremacy, yet you remain a confused bigot whose base consists of people who can't be bothered to read a history book or any book for that matter. America wasn't built from scratch by settlers. It was taken from thriving indigenous civilizations built on the forced labor of enslaved people and expanded by waves of immigrants who continue to shape it today. The idea that settlers built civilization alone ignores the history of destruction, displacement, and stolen land. Indigenous nations had governments, trade networks, and advanced societies long before your ancestors, mostly thugs and fugitives, arrived. Another says, settlers...
Indigenous nations had trade routes. Okay.
You mean colonizers who took land from indigenous people and built an economy on slavery, because that's the reality of how America was actually built. And the idea that immigrants today just eat the fruits...
Well, they're not wrong, but it would be white slavery.
...without contributing is pure nonsense. Every generation of immigrants has worked, innovated...
5 million max. I've heard 10 million max. Or was it 9.5 million max, then red line? Yeah. 100 million. That's
and
like
strengthen
silly.
The country, whether it was the Irish, Italians, Chinese, or today's diverse wave of newcomers. America was and still is built by immigrants. The only difference is that today's immigrants don't have to commit genocide to settle here. And then, actually, America was built by neither immigrants nor settlers. It was built by illegal invaders who came here without permission from the local population, committed genocide on them, and utilized enslaved free labor to build it. And then it wasn't a wilderness, and the settlers did not build anything from scratch. They invaded a continent that was already cultivated and slaughtered the people who cultivated it. This Matt Walsh douche is one of the biggest fascists around, and he's proud of it. And finally, Keith Olbermann chimes in and says, settlers wiped out the population that was here to make room for inbred mother effers like you.
Ha!
Now, it is pretty bold for Keith Olbermann to call anyone else inbred, considering that he looks and sounds like a dimly sentient wart come to life. Olbermann's only achievement in life, really, is that he's been fired more than anyone else in the history of media. He enjoys being fired so much, in fact, that he got fired from ESPN and then bounced around to other media outlets and got fired by all of them and then went back to ESPN.
Yeah, this is the problem. They talk about genocide, but yet they run around dreaming of white genocide. So it's typical shit-lib nonsense.
And got fired a second time by them.
And I can't tell whether they're white shit-libs or non-whites because they all think the same.
So now he's an unemployed man in his 60s with no wife and no children. And when he dies, his bloodline will be terminated like his ESPN contracts. That's how committed this guy is to getting fired. But anyway, needless to say, That was mean, but it was also true. Needless to say, all of the outrage and accusations of racism and fascism have not dissuaded me or convinced me that I'm wrong about my initial point. They have achieved, if anything, the opposite result. So let me make a few points in response to all this. And these are all points I've made before, but I'll make them again and keep making them because defending America's history and its foundation has become, I think, one of our most important cultural fights. At least it is to me. So first, it is not true that all of this land in the Americas was already occupied. Yes, there were Indian tribes living here, but even so, most of the land was not occupied. The continental United States and Canada comprise about 7 million square miles, give or take. Nobody knows how many Indians lived here prior to first contact. The tribes had no written language. They had no sophisticated method of record keeping. They certainly weren't conducting any kind of census. But most estimates would say that there were maybe 6 or 7 million people living in North America or
and that includes Canada and Mexico.
Specifically, especially in the continental United States and Canada, on the very high end, 13 to 18 million maybe. I doubt it was close to that high. But even if it was, we're talking about the population of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we came and conquered. It is what it is. Anything else is a cope. I thought this was intriguing. If you guys have time, it's a very good interview, and I'm going to play a part of it. I've been asked about this nonstop. Some of you guys have heard this. It's going around. It's Lighthizer. I don't know how it's. Let me see here. Lighthizer. And he's talking about the tariff system, and it's somewhat intriguing. In so much that they're saying the system is not just based on tariffs. They're totally rethinking how America is going to operate within the confines of this quote-unquote global economy as we go toward a multipolar world. This would read like the grapes of wrath to Wall Street and probably London and who knows who else on the planet. But the idea that Trump's running down this road, and it isn't just system of tariffs, according to him. It's a whole remaking, trying to roll back the devastation that has happened over the past, let's say, 30 years, 40 years. Can it be done? I'd say if the country was still all white, it would be possible. Let's say we're 88% white. You could certainly do it to the white part of the country. But who knows what else they're trying to do. I got more pieces to show you guys, but this is, if you want to get a good overview of the thinking behind the quote-unquote tariff system, because in my mind was like, okay, it's a Trump negotiating gambit, and he's using this to negotiate tariffs down to more equal position. No, they're going to do tariffs no matter what, which is going to have giant ramifications for a lot of different things, namely the markets in the short term. But Trump has said he doesn't give a shit about the markets, which means the elites behind him don't give a shit about the markets right now. they're looking at the viability and the long-term viability of North America, and they're running down a totally different road very quickly. And they're going to try to equalize the situation. The conclusion, the main conclusion from this particular interview is they've realized finally that the problem America has at root is that they gave away the manufacturing, which is kind of common sense. And when you give away manufacturing, it has far more profound ramifications than just lower standard of living. It has all kinds of other problems. So they're going to rush back in manufacturing. And with additive manufacturing, and it's kind of interesting that Elon's in this particular club, Elon Musk, because Elon has pioneered certain types of manufacturing with Tesla and other things like that. Or Elon's companies have been used as a test pilot to pilot these different forms of manufacturing. In this ideal, you need $150,000 to raise a family, and they're going to have to stop taxing the middle class. They've got to get off the ass of the middle class and start getting back a middle class. But the problem the guy has, and there's a lot of problems with this type of guy, is that, you know, race isn't the only thing, as I say, but it's the one thing that if you fuck it up, everything else is just, you just tossed out the window. And these guys, I don't think they understand race. I think they got a clue that something's wrong, but I don't think they understand that you're going to have to start talking race. And to get down that particular road, you're going to have to start talking about Jewish power and the powerful Jewish apparatus within North America that pretty much wields the swords over whites' heads, especially whites that speak out, the more ethnocentric variety. Now, maybe he understands that, maybe he doesn't. Tucker seems to understand parts of it, but he tends to play this game. They all value this particular game, being Mercurian, you know. The Jews announced in the 20th century that they were the most Mercurian race, you know. They were the most clever, the most conniving, and the evil geniuses. Of course, if you were the most Mercurian, you would never announce that to the world. that's not how it operates. But this is this is Tucker's game, by and large. It's the Anglo-Saxon game. Except they don't talk about it. The three ways to balance global trade. We are in an economic emergency. Let's play this. The trifecta of stupid. He goes into NAFTA and various different trade deals that dismantled, that hurt America bad, poorly, hurt America in a big way. We'll see here.
The biggest change of my lifetime is the end of the middle class as a majority and the end of the egalitarian spirit that defined America, that Anglo-egalitarianism, which is not a feature of other countries. So, no, I couldn't agree more. It makes me hate the people in charge for ignoring this stuff. So what do you do about it?
So the first thing you do is you acknowledge you have a problem. Second thing you do is you put your finger, what is the nature of the problem? The problem is industrial policies of other people. Now, this is a really important point, Tucker. The president and some others will say the tariffs are different. They're ripping us off on tariffs.
And, you know, this is one of the challenges. Someone in the Rumble chat said, what was that, Ledeck? I think it is. I'm just happy the Indians or the natives stopped eating people. Well, that's just the problem. They stopped eating people, and now there's way too many people, especially brown people. We disrupted the natural order of things. There's no one around to eat people now, at least the brown people. Yeah, they occasionally eat some white people, but we can manage that. As long as they eat anti-whites, I don't give a shit.
And for sure that's true. But in terms of what is causing the harm to the global economy, I would say, but particularly to America, the most important thing is not tariffs. Tariffs are the most visual thing, the easiest to see. But the real problem goes far deeper than that, so that if you end up with equal tariffs, you will still have a catastrophe for America. It will not resolve the issue at all. So what are the things in industrial?
Now, this is a big deal right here. This is the guy, this is one of the talking heads behind Trump. He was a trade negotiator. This is one of the guys that's pushing for this. This isn't just about tariffs. This is totally redoing how America does business. because America, they basically, the North American elite are here to protect the homeland. It's homeland defense. But to do that, you have to have manufacturing back here like yesterday.
Real policy that tilt the scale against, we would say, open markets and free trade and fair competition. All right. They are everything from the banking system. So in China, they have a banking system. They tell you to put your money in the bank. They make you have low interest rates. They take the money. They can loan it to manufacturing at what we would consider to be a below market rate. And that encourages manufacturing. And they've done that. They've increased that those loans from $60 billion a few years ago, this is according to the New York Times, to almost $700 billion in the last year or so, but for a year. So it's the banking, it's the labor system. If you have a system that keeps labor from getting its fair share of the pie, you're keeping wages down because of the statutory system. An example of that is this hukou system in China, where you can't really move around and be part of the system and get wages, just kind of stay where you were born. But there are lots of other ones, not allowing unions, not allowing organization, there's a lot of in the labor law, but it's subsidies, denying market access, it's fake non-scientific standards to get products. It's value added tax. It's a tax system.
And explain that a little more. Fake standards.
So it's one of the big things we have. Fake is a, see, that just shows you that I'm a Trump person, right? So a person, a more sensible person than me, would say non-scientific sort of standards. So I mean, you could take a case as like a simple case that how long should a tractor have to break before it stops, and you could say, okay, fine. You know, safety is I'm making these numbers up. Safety is 40 feet, and maybe the Europeans would say, well, it's got to be 10 feet. We have to be very safe, and the net of that would be to eliminate products coming in. That kind of a standard. So it's or health and safety. For example, the Europeans saying chicken shouldn't come in if you chlorinate it. That is to say, when you're done, you put chlorine on it to make sure there's no micro organisms. They would say, well, that's unsafe. So it's sort of non-scientific standards like that. And there's a lot of them.
Which are, in effect, trade barriers.
They're absolutely trade barriers. Everything I'm talking about either basically shifts national wealth from consumers to manufacturers to give them an edge. And the tax system, currency manipulation, there's all these things. These things are, the point I'm trying to make is, are multiples in terms of importance versus tariffs. If we have equal tariffs with everyone in the world at zero, for example, we won't have a middle class. We won't have manufacturing because all these other factors will give them this unfair, uneconomic advantage. And I, you know, we can go through, and the president, to his credit, in his truth, where he laid this out, he said it's not just tariffs; it's all these other things. And the Jameson Greer, the USTR, is looking at all these other things. But when we think of the kind of migration, for me, let me just say, was like, okay, we need free trade, and then you said, okay, we need fair trade. The reality is, you can't get fair trade because there's too many ways to twist it. What we really need, I've evolved to, is balanced trade. We need a system that enforces kind of trade balance, not with countries, but globally. Countries shouldn't be able to be huge surplus countries year after year, like China, of course, being the worst example, but also Germany. Ireland is evolving to that. And there's a bunch of other countries we could talk about. Countries shouldn't be able to do that. And so you say, well, how do you achieve that? You really need to put in place, I would say, some kind of tariffs to offset this fundamental unfairness. You're not just offsetting their tariffs. Europe's 10% on autos. We're 2.5%. If Europe went to zero, we still wouldn't sell very many cars in Europe. We just wouldn't. Our companies basically make small trucks. They don't need them there. I mean, it's just there's a lot of reasons why that wouldn't happen. But what you need, you can't have countries have huge trade surpluses over long periods of time. You have to enforce and you have to penalize countries that have surpluses all the time. and let countries that have deficits all the time get back to balance. If you do that, you then get the benefits of trade. So how do you get to balance trade? There's basically three ways you can get to balance trade.
And this is somewhat important. It tells me they've thought through this a little bit more than just we're just going to have tariffs.
One is the way that Warren Buffett talked about in this article, and it's a wonderful article. I recommend anyone to read it. I would just Google Warren Buffett's Squanderville, because he talks about Squanderville and Thriftville, and it's a short article. It's very nice.
2003.
Yeah, it was 2003. And
yeah, well, that's what they're talking about. We have to become producers again.
And he says what we should do is have export-import certificates. So in order to import, you need an export certificate. So you want to bring in T-shirts, you go to a steel mill and say, okay, fine, you export it, I'm going to buy that. And that would get you to balance. And I would certainly support that. Another way you could do it is you could put, and this is a little more complicated, you could put a tax on the money that comes back, this $23.5 trillion, this trillion dollars that comes back every year where they buy U.S. assets, you could tax that. So that really wasn't worth a dollar. It was only worth 80 cents. In that case, there would be less incentive for people to run up these surpluses. That's called a capital access fee, and there are people that have proposed that, and that also would work. And then there's tariffs. So I prefer tariffs, one, because people understand them. Two, every country in the world has a
import certificate. This is very interesting. I want to say it sounds like someone's already doing something like that. In other words, if you got to import something, if you have to import something from your business, you need a certificate for that. You need to find an American business first, that type of thing. Could be intriguing. Well, at least they're thinking it through. Tax the money coming back, that basically if China makes $1 trillion and they come back in here to buy something, it gets taxed as it comes back through. They should have never went down this road. But it's kind of funny that they're even, you know, trying to save the place. Intriguing. Schumer, anti-Semitism on the left, much harder to grapple with than anti-Semitism on the right. In new book, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer reflects on rising anti-Semitism and the fine line between criticism and hate speech. Yeah. I don't know. Sounds like mercantilism? But sure. I mean, we have a hybrid financial system with a weird set of incentives that don't work, really, for anyone except a handful of oligarchs. What's funny is those oligarchs are getting told to get on board with the new system. They're throwing them underneath the bus as of right now, you know. But Schumer, what do you think about Schumer? Anti-Semitism on the left, much harder to grapple with than anti-Semitism on the right. Well, anti-Semitism on the left is a lot of brown anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism on the right is just some white guys and women. It's just a rising clamoring across the board, coupled with Israel aggression. But if you only knew how bad it was for the Jews. India just raided Soros' Open Society Foundation offices. NGO scam is crumbling. NGO scam is crumbling. India has raided the George Soros Open Society Foundation offices in Karnataka? It's kind of funny. Hilarious. Act Blue is a huge money laundering scam. They pay for terrorist activities. These are traditional right-wingers, but George Soros, well, he was booted out of Russia. I think he was booted out of China as well. He's been booted out of a lot of places. Higher IQ white anti-Semites on the left anyways? I don't know. I mean, these days there's not a lot of left-wing white anti-Semites. There's just a handful. But there's only ever a handful, at least, that you can tell. You don't know what they're talking about at parties, whether it be Republicans who probably hate the Jews who are blackmailing them for being pedophiles, or the Democrats who are probably being blackmailed by Jews for the Israelis for the same thing, right? I don't know. But George Soros getting hammered. People named in the JFK assassination documents are not happy their personal information was released. Well, I mean, this is what happens when you work at a government. People who reviewed these documents did not do their job. So I think the result of the incompetent people doing the reviewing, I don't believe it had anything to do with rushing the process. It should not have happened. Joseph DiGenova, a former campaign lawyer for President Donald Trump, was among those whose personal information was disclosed. He said he's planning to sue the U.S. National Archives. Wow, DiGenova. Genova, I think it's pronounced right. Italian? I didn't know he was in there. His personal information was on documents related to the work for U.S. Senate Select Committee that investigated abuses of power by government officials in the 70s. People are pissed off over the release of their information. I don't know. The new laws on anti-Semitism are going to include JFK conspiracies, that Israelis were involved in the JFK assassination. I mean, let's face it. Who had the most motive on the planet? It would be them. I mean, you could talk about mobsters and the CIA, but you got to also talk about them. Them. Let's see what we got here. Other than Brown's, anti-Semitism on the left is just anti-Zionism and anti-colonialism, and have made it very clear that they don't hate just Zionists for being genocidal freaks. Yeah. Well, they hate whites. I think one of the problems, one of the challenges with anti-Semitism on the left when you're dealing with the Browns is they hate them for being the last colonialists to rub their noses in it as brown people. And it really comes across, and many times I've noticed this over the years, that it comes across as just anti-white. Just like we don't have any friends, basically, is what it tells you. They're fine in their countries, but in our countries, all they do is get amped up and become anti-white. So that's why I don't support their immigration, besides the fact that it's genocidal to us. Exclusive Trump voter says he doesn't regret choice despite wife's ICE arrest. You got some Mexican voting for Trump. He doesn't regret the choice despite his wife was arrested by ICE and deported. That's pretty funny. It's a classic headline, though. You gotta think. It's an epic headline. You know, often the world we live in these days, amazing times. I don't regret voting for Trump. They just deported my wife. Now, what's dangerous is, I don't know if I got this news piece, but I'll have to pull something up on it Sunday. They're starting to detain Europeans in America, which, you know, this whole entire, the way they went about this, you know, eventually it's just going to be a free-for-all on whoever they want to detain. That's what bothers me. Cheapest divorce ever? Yeah, exactly. Now for the second wife? There you go. let's listen. Everyone's all the Browns are pissed off over immigration. Another liberal LA county worker at an event hosted by LA Liberal. LA County Office of Immigrant Affairs has been caught coaching people on how to evade ICE. This ought to be entertaining. Let's play this. She's going to evade ICE. She's speaking Spanish.
No tengo por nada.
Okay, está bien. Quédese aquí en California. Está más protegido aquí que en otro lugar.
En cualquier otro estado. Si usted trabaja con la ciudad.
Con el condado.
Con el condado.
Yeah. Esta área, porque celeste de Los Ángeles, está cubierta por el condado de Los Ángeles.
Yeah, we literally are paying people. A woman sitting there and talking to us on the taxpayer dole, coaching Mexicans on how to, or South Americans at a minimum, Spanish speakers from South America on how to evade ICE. And the ICE workers, probably half of them probably work for are Mexican as well. And she's wearing a Patagonia shirt that probably costs $150, but you know, hey.
Usted tiene el derecho de no abrir la puerta, no contestar ninguna pregunta. So, si usted está afuera trabajando en un carro, usted les puede decir que no quiere contestar ninguna pregunta. Y que se identifiquen ellos. So, díganles, ¿quiénes son ustedes? ¿De cuál agencia? Okay. Y la otra cosa es que sí, porque los tratamos.
I don't know when the idiots that run this country, the Tucker Carlsons and the Lighthouses, realize that ethnic ethnic solidarity rules the world. You know, the WASP like to complain these days, it seems, about Jews for good reason. But the fact of the matter is, they could have formed an ethnogenesis like the Hell's Angels or something. Looking at the early days of the 1% biker clubs like Hell's Angels, it was an ethnogenesis of whites coming together, and they were violent. They got their way through violence many times. Or even the early days of the labor movement, the ethnogenesis of whites. The idea that the WASPs couldn't do that because of they are caught up in too much self-hatred tells us a lot. Our dear elite, like the class that Tucker Carlson belongs to. So, yeah, you could read Kevin McDonald's books, and you should. And you could know about the JQ, because you should. Don't forget, you got a lot of traitors. They can whine and cry all they want, but now, you know, Tucker still hates talking about race. Well, they should have kept the country 90% white. They could have done that. They could have banded together. I mean, the template was there. Last I heard, the 1%ers got ran out from Beaners, but I don't know. Well, the 1% club, I'm talking about the early days, the ethnogenesis of whites in the early biker days. I'm not talking about now. I'm guessing there still are some hardcore white biker clubs, though. I'm guessing there's still ethnogenesis. I mean, you definitely would see it in the motorcycle clubs that are all white. Now, whether they are 1% or not, you know what I mean. But in the early days, you know, anything went. Anything goes. Anything went. It takes 5 Supreme Court justices to issue a ruling that affects the whole nation, yet lone district court judges assume the authority to unilaterally dictate the policies of the entire executive branch of government. There's a credible case to be made that any one of the around 700 district court judges, that's Stephen Miller, possesses more power than anyone on the Supreme Court. Yeah, they're talking about what to do with these judges. Now, I didn't see this coming, but I have a feeling I know where this is going to end up. Black robe tyranny. This is kind of intriguing, though. This is quite a statistic here. Federal injunctions since 1963, 127. Obama had 12. Trump had 64 in his first term. Biden had 14. Trump has 15, and that's just over 2 months. So Trump is already a quarter of the way through his injunctions from the first term in just the first 2 months. Now, granted, he's doing something, or he's trying to, or says he's trying to. I mean, he's doing executive orders. Sounds pretty crazy, though, huh? And it shows you the establishment is the establishment, and it doesn't want anything done. Yes. Now listen to this. Now we're getting close to the point where Christians will have to heed the call to arms. Woo! Right Wing Watch is reporting this. Let's see this. This is William E. Wolfe, Christian nationalist. Are you sure you want a figure like him close to the president? What are you going to do about the judges? Well, let's listen to what the Christian nationalists are saying close to Trump.
And if we have ever lived in a point in time in American history since then that we could argue that now is the time to arms again, I think we are getting close. Now, Davies sets that out and says that it is right, even though as Christians we seek peace, that when the enemy is pressed upon us, if we fail to heed the call to arms, then we are acting as cowards.
Uh-oh. Who's going to do the call to arms?
And if we have...
Is it going to be some kind of God? Or is it going to be Trump? You imagine Trump calling for like a Rojava call to arms against the shitlibs? Can you imagine that?
And if we have ever lived in a point in time in American history since then that we could argue that now is the time to arms again, I think we are getting close. Now, Davies sets that out and says that it is right, even though as Christians we seek peace, that when the enemy is pressed upon us, if we fail to heed the call to arms, then we are acting as cowards.
He's saying we're almost out of You know, I call this like this current system baseball, practical politics. It's like this non-voting politics. It's practical politics, by the way. It starts with what you say when you open up your mouth. This current system is baseball. Baseball is actually something Americans understand, but most of the world like have to study it for a minute. It's got all the kind of rules and stuff like that. All kinds of shit going on in baseball. Basketball is very simple because it's like whether it be the games played by the ancient Aztecs or whatever, you know, you put a ball through a goal. You kick the head of the captive through the goal. You know, it's always the same shit over and over again. And most games, like, you know, soccer, even lacrosse, you know, you got sticks and you're shooting something through a goal. Baseball is exotic. It's got all kinds of exotic rules. It's very unique in that regard. You know, we whites have some unique games. But whether it be hockey or anything else, you know, you've got the basic, you know, puck through a goal. And basketball is very simple. Baseball is practical politics. It's got all kinds of weird rules. Voting politics is considered conventional politics. Voting politics is not considered practical politics because it's not very practical, which is why no one likes voting. You know, at least don't use voting politics for anything except to control A, B, or C. But everything's practical politics. Everything's some shade of gray. But basketball is very simple. The Wild Wild West was based on basketball. You got to get the head of your enemy through that goal by any means necessary, not through some trickery or blackmail or some type of meme magic. You got to go another direction. You got to select Hispanic on the application to get hired today if you're white. That's got to change. If Lighthizer has his way or whatever, the Carlsons have their way, they've got to make a change. But how do you change? This is the question we're asking. How do you change a system where you have militant groups of people clogging it up who hate us? Well, this Christian nationalist has a particular idea.
And if we have ever lived in a point in time in American history since then that we could argue that now is a time to arms again, I think we are getting close.
We are getting close. Holy shit. You know, like a Hitler-like figure to say, to war, white man? I don't know what that would look like. I don't know. But basketball. It's basketball. We're close to basketball season, according to the Christian nationalists. We'll have to see. Getting a little glowy. Everyone's getting a little glowy. Make Ireland great again. Conor McGregor announces run for Irish presidency. Good for him. UFC fighter and strident anti-immigration hawk Conor McGregor announces he's running for the Irish presidency. Opposition to EU's European Migration Pact, which would streamline screening and asylum process. The days of weak men creating hard times for Ireland are over, mark my words. What is going on in Ireland is a travesty. The illegal immigration racket is running rampant over the country. I don't know. Does he understand how many illegal immigrants are in America and that Trump hasn't removed but like 1,000 a day, if that?
What is going on in Ireland is a travesty.
Can he win? I think the EU would probably make sure he didn't win. Of course, America could intervene in Ireland at any time, and America could intervene in the United Kingdom or even Europe. I don't know what that would look like, but that would be pretty crazy. Just the illegal immigrants. Yeah, the problem is the massive number of legal immigrants. I don't even know what that number is. They've all got to go. Can't expect God to do all the work. Famous last words. Yeah, Conor McGregor, that would be fun. How would the EU respond to Conor McGregor running on Make Ireland Great Again and he's going to kick out all the migrants? Well, Ireland would have to leave the EU. Ireland, of course, has more to gain from the US and the UK than the EU, potentially. I don't know what this would look like, but that would be a wild, wild ride. Donald Trump's going to buy Ireland. Like, Donald Trump's going to take Ireland as well as Greenland and North and Canada. That would be freaking crazy. He's got a golf course, I think, in Scotland, right? He takes Scotland too. Now, the King of England's talking. We're going to get to that in a minute. It's pretty funny. King Charles, you know, he technically owns Canada. Yeah, the royal family, like they Her Majesty Queen of England, like technically owned all of Canada. And now Donald Trump's talking about taking it. They must get kind of nervous because Donald's actually got a military in crazy Christian Zionist America. I don't know what all this is going to mean, but, you know, it's pointing it out. Scientists trapped in Antarctica plead for help as violence breaks out. These are scientists, quote unquote, from South Africa. What I see is three black guys, a Jeet, maybe two Jeets or mulatto, four black guys, a Jeet, a mulatto of some kind, or maybe a colored, one black woman, maybe one colored woman. That's what I think they call them there, and one white woman. Now, supposedly there was a sexual assault. I have a feeling. I have a feeling that blonde was in over her head going to South Africa with this crew, going to Antarctica with the South African crew. What do you guys think? Can you imagine being trapped in Antarctica with this group? Woo! This is the Antarctic research crew who trapped in icy hell with coworker who snapped and started attacking them. It must be that blonde snapping and attacking them. All right, this is Von Tonde is an electronics engineer. There they are here. Alan Jacobs. Woo! Someone snapped and started attacking people. Oh, God. Yes, crew members pose for a camera provided for their trip. Welcome to South Africa. Talking about creepy. Yeah, I bet a lot of people, well, I bet the blonde, totally regret signing up for this trip. Gotta totally regret signing up for that trip. What do you guys think? Who do you think it was? Was it the Jeet or one of the blacks? I don't know. The blonde's freaking out. The thing, jogger edition. Exactly. Exactly. There's going to be more Kalergi babies. I don't know. I don't know what percentage of like the Boers in South Africa pretty much marry the Boers. Whites generally, you know, I don't think there's that much like quote unquote race mixing in South Africa. I've never seen stats on it though. You know, I'm sure it's there, but you know. Oh, man, what an ominous-looking trip that would be. Eh? Why Beijing fears the U.S. playing the Russian card? You know why they fear it. They're both white. You see, the Chinese think only in racial terms. The idiot that wrote this article can't really grasp the fact that it's racial to the Chinese. And they're talking about a global strategy making Beijing more vulnerable, one-sided relationship, new U.S.-Russia detente. The U.S. has better cards than China. Well, the Chinese have two advantages. They're homogenous and they're not run by a bunch of Jews. It's a big advantage. They're two big advantages. Of course, those particular Israelis and whatnot, the long-term planners at the Mossad, as I like to call it, Moose, they need America to survive because what happens if your host dies? So you really got to figure out all that. And of course, they got ties into Russia. Going to be a fascinating one to watch. And clearly something's going on with China as we ramp up into the war with Middle East, and I don't know how ugly that'll look. Clear proof science has been lost. It's funny. It's so typical, though. It's so typical. The idea that you would send them to Antarctica as scientists is just a joke. just an absolute joke. Yeah, so I would see the Chinese fearing this because the Chinese border Russia. The Chinese historically claim part of Russian territory because what? It was once part of their territory. Of course, bordering Russia as well, you have the Bering Strait. You have Alaska, which America got from Russia. And America, at least white Christian America and Slavic Christian Russia, are natural allies. We've never been at war. So it's kind of intriguing. They got a lot of natural resources, but there's a lot of natural resources everywhere. In fact, no one may have more natural resources than Russia other than Africa, which is why we got to support the Boers there. King Charles to make secret offer to Donald Trump during state visit after Starmer hand-delivered letter from the king.
And it is my pleasure to bring from His Majesty the King a letter. He sends his best wishes and his regards, of course. But he also asked me to bear this letter, bring it to you. So can I present the letter from the king?
Am I supposed to read it right now?
Yep. I've got to tell him what your reaction is. Well,
he is a great gentleman. A great, great gentleman. Well, that is really nice. I must make sure his signature's on that. Otherwise, it's not quite as meaningful. It is, and that's quite a signature, isn't it? Beautiful.
He's
a beautiful man, a wonderful man, and we appreciate it. I've known him, gotten to know him very well, actually. First term and now second term. Perhaps you'd like to say what that very important paragraph
is. Yes, so this is a letter from His Majesty the King. It's an invitation for a second state visit. This is really special. This has never happened before. This is unprecedented. I think that just symbolizes the strength of the relationship between us. So this is a very special letter.
Now, typically what British royalty do when they're in trouble with the North American Anglo elite, they roll something like this out and try to present all the regalia of royalty and overwhelm them with that and blow smoke up their ass to get their way. Usually it works, too. I don't know if it'll work on Trump, because I think Trump considers himself the king of royalty as well. King of who? King of the Jews, who have a lot of power in the English-speaking world. So you have the king of the Anglo-Saxon world, who of course, the Anglo-Saxons, like all of us, are being genocided. And you have the king of the Jews, who definitely has the powerful hand right here. What do you think? What do you guys think? What he's going to offer him is that they want to bring America into the Commonwealth. And the Commonwealth has a lot of natural resources. You just got to get around all the Africans. Yeah, the wonderful Commonwealth. If only. So one king to another. This is going to be like a royal banquet. And I would say this is the closest thing to anything we're going to see where a president of the United States is going to treat it like a king. Because literally, King Charles is going to have to treat him like the king of the Jews. Which is what he is. It's just, we're just his Gentile subjects. There you go. So this should be rather entertaining. I don't know what it all means for us, but they're worried about Trump. You know, Trump claimed Canada. Well, the king of England is protector of Canada. It's his territory, so what are you going to do? Say, we're all cousins, put him in the Commonwealth? I guess so. I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know what will work on Trump. I don't know. Trump is thinking, I own Gaza, I own Israel, I'm the king of the Jews. And all that stuff. Trump is nothing, as temporary power that will be gone soon enough. Oh, male monster. I think he plans on staying in indefinitely like Putin. I think most of the leaders we see today that are taking, like Macron, the various different leaders we see really taking charge on the world stage, like the Putins and someone, I think they're going to be there. I think Trump is going to go the different distance for 10 years. Oh, I don't think they have that long, male monster. I think they're getting ready to roll out all kinds of shit. I got more news to go, guys. Stay tuned. We got crazy stuff coming up, so just gear it up. I haven't done this in a while, but we've got exciting stuff coming out of Egypt. Predictable over the last few years. It's predictable. Scientific America saying all kinds of stuff. Doesn't matter if he's old. Hell, Putin might be a doppelganger. Putin might have died 20 years ago. What's up, Peepoo? What's going on? I appreciate all support, guys. Oh, man. Canada was released from the Commonwealth in 1901 by the King Queen Victoria. Then it was reaffirmed again in the 30s. Well, everything is going to be... The English-speaking world, London, wants everything back in the Commonwealth. The Commonwealth is something that kind of went away, but they've been bringing it back out as an answer to BRICS. I think that's what their plan is. They're bringing back out the Commonwealth, basically. They're reigniting the Commonwealth. And it'll mean something for Canada, Australia. They're going to try to get everyone involved, especially America. North Korean-linked Lazarus Group holds more Bitcoin than Elon Musk's Tesla. They're saying North Korea is the third largest Bitcoin holder in the world. How funny would that be? Now, North Korea is probably the closest thing we have. I mean, they're called communists, and they are brutal, but they're Asian. Definitely have some national socialist leanings in there. Doge head Elon Musk Tesla falls behind North Korean hacker group in terms of BTC holdings. plans to make U.S. the crypto capital of the world. Oh, my. We got big financial news coming out. How North Korea cracked Bybit's crypto safe to steal $1.5 billion in record heist. Good for the North Koreans. this is hilarious stuff, though. Let me see what I got coming up here. Let me just keep pulling these up. And then I'm going to take a break here for a few minutes. Okay. Let's see what we got going on here. Crazy news out of Ukraine, too. We've got this guy at his trial talking about the death of... talking about the death of the famous streamer in Ukraine. I'm going to play that for you here in a bit. North Korea Bitcoin holdings top El Salvador, Bhutan after Bybit hack. The problem with crypto is going to be hacking long term. It's a challenge. Odyssey has a weird audio delay issue after a while. It depends on your browser. Odyssey has all kinds of challenges. I mean, you can always go to YouTube's. You can always go to Rumble. I'm okay with whatever. But where's Ryan GGG when you need him? And ask him about this. Record theft boosts North Korea to third largest Bitcoin holder. Cyber hack last month. Absolutely hilarious. North Korea becomes third largest government Bitcoin holder after Bybit hack. What are you going to do about North Korea? Pirate state. North Korea, world's third largest Bitcoin holder. FBI accused North Korea of largest crypto hack in history. Last month, the FBI accused a Lazarus Group of stealing approximately $1.5 billion worth of digital currency from Bybit, a Dubai-based cryptocurrency exchange serving over 60 million users. The hackers reportedly exploited a routine transfer between digital wallets to abscond with around 401,000 Ethereum tokens. The Bureau says it was expecting Lazarus to launder its ill-gotten gains through various cryptocurrencies. Well, if it's Ethereum, that doesn't make them a Bitcoin holder unless they're going to launder it somehow. Remember Elon shitting all over BTC to get it to slide down in 2021? Fucker did that to buy more. Yeah. That's what all the elites do. By the way, in my opinion, that could be borderline insider trading. Jawboning something than to buy a bunch of it. But never forget, these elite are quite willing to do anything if they get into trouble. they don't really have new playbooks, so we look for return to their old playbooks, whether it be the gold standard, very old playbook. I'm not saying there won't be a new twist on it, like a fractional reserve digital gold standard, which is what they're coming out with, or even segregation, which we would welcome very quickly. They're going to have to do something to help whites, so they're not going to have anything. The big problem they would have is competition over white tribes, because we no longer, we don't have a border anywhere. Bring back segregation. How would that conversation go? I mean, I don't know how they would even go about this if they could without freaking themselves out. The Jews would have no problems because the Jews are already segregated and have a segregated state in Israel. They just want to be considered white. That this is their game plan. It's been their game plan for quite some while. Netanyahu has had a fascination with America white nationalism for a long time, they say. They got to be white. To survive, what European Jews have to shed all their preconceptions and be white. I don't know how that's going to work. But nonetheless, so we do have a group at the top of our civilization that is very segregated. I mean, their country is segregated, Israel. Waiting room for color. Segregated facilities are no longer explicitly banned in federal contracts. Yeehaw! After a recent change by the Trump administration, the federal government no longer explicitly prohibits contractors from having segregated restaurants, waiting rooms, and drinking fountains. Imagine having a white-only restaurant. How much money would a white-only restaurant make? How much money would that make? Now, if you did that, you'd get the shit sued out of you. Segregation clause is one of several. Now, there are plenty of black-only restaurants. I think many of them have signs up these days even. Or just make you uncomfortable if you walked in there. The segregation clause is one of several identified in a public memo issued by the General Service Administration last month. Don't worry, guys. We're not going back to segregation anytime soon, and this is just another... probably something that could be explained away. In affecting all civil federal agencies, the memo explains that it's making changes prompted by President Trump's executive order on diversity, equity, and inclusion, which repealed an executive order signed by President Lyndon B. Johnson in 1965 regarding federal contractors and non-discrimination. The memo also addresses Trump's executive order on gender identity. Okay. They're getting nervous. The shitlibs are getting nervous. It'd be absolutely hilarious if they said, we got to save white America. We're going to bring back segregation. We're going to lose our empire. Well, you're going to bring back more than that, but that would be rather intriguing. All these groups don't belong with us. They have their own shit in our countries. That's right. You can't keep it white openly. Have to play classical music to keep them away. It's like DEET to these animals. DEET. Oh, I could see them doing anything to try to survive, though. They don't give a shit. I mean, our owners are segregated. If they're like, well, we got to segregate some of our goyim. Well, could happen. A controlled unwind in New Bretton Woods with Bitcoin. A Bretton Woods, man, oh man, did that cause currency turmoil. Letting the dollar float. If not, we risk a chaotic collapse akin to 1929 or 2008. Since 1913, governments, financial institutions, and central banks have systematically distorted money in markets, creating an unsustainable system of derivatives, credit expansion, and hidden leverage. Step one, the end of fiat and derivative system. Good luck with that. Step two, signaling... foreign buyers, China, Russia, BRICS, have all but stopped accumulating U.S. Treasury. That means they're going to... I think that could be a catalyst for what we're seeing, guys. They're ready to move on a new system. Signaling the shift towards sound money. Gold accumulation, Russia, China, now the U.S. government have been quietly accumulating physical gold. Okay. LBMA, that's the London Metal Exchange, and COMEX, that's the Commodity Exchange in New York, physical shortages of gold. Centralization of FICC trading, flushing out leverage. U.S. Treasury market is the second derivative of gold, meaning its value is ultimately tied to faith in the dollar and in turn tests on confidence in gold and sound money. The carry trade, T-bill arbitrage, has become one of the most leveraged trades in history. Estimates 150 to 300% leverage in second-order derivatives. We've watched this movie before with the LIBOR fixing scandal that led to 2008 disaster. Early exodus moving into Bitcoin. Is it the 1930s gold rush replay? Is the same happening with Bitcoin? They might drive it down first. Hold on here. Let's see what Bitcoin. Bitcoin's kind of stable at the 84,000 area. It could go down. It could go down in some type of situation very easily. I'm looking at Monero. All right, Monero's still above 200. Ethereum's back to 19, almost 2,000. I'm curious to see what they roll out, but it's coming soon because they're already doing it. Did Powell just align with Trump? Well, if they're bringing out a new system, he's going to have to align with Trump. Federal judge pushes back acting Social Security head over threat to close agencies. They're upset over Elon Musk looking at everything. But here's the thing. If the oligarchy has to make big changes, they need a front man to go in and start gutting things. Now, how much Elon's really gutting things, how much he gets away with in the end, I don't really know. I mean, trying to save this particular beast seems almost helpless. Seems almost like jumping off a cliff. You know, with the anchor tying an anvil to your anchor and throwing it off a cliff or something, trying to save this thing. But nonetheless, they're trying to save it financially. BTC will hit 75K new low. Bet on it. Okay. You're saying it hit 75K before 100K? Well, it looks like the stock market's going to go down again. And they're trying to fix this beast of a system. They're trying to modify it. And it's going to take a lot of work. New Utah law allows state vendors to be paid in gold and silver. Now, here's the thing about the system they're rolling out. It is a fractional reserve system. It's going to be based on digital gold, digital silver, especially digital gold. Bitcoin's going to be involved because electronic currencies are going to be involved. You know, digital currencies are going to be the thing. A dollar is going to be worth so much gold. A U.S. dollar is going to be worth so much gold, but it's going to be a fractional amount. And you're not going to be able to get real gold for dollars. You're going to get some type of e-gold certificate. That's how they're going to transition this. I see it very clearly. The real question about gold is who owns most of the gold on the planet and who has most of the gold underneath their feet. Is it the Russians? Is it the Africans? Is it somewhere in America? We don't know. But this is the system they're going to. They're going to some type of digital system. It's not going to be they're definitely going to leave paper money in place. They're not going to go the way of China overnight. That's too difficult. But it is going to be a digital system and a fractional reserve gold system where the dollar is going to be worth a percentage in gold. You're just not going to be able to receive physical gold, but digital gold against Fort Knox. Quite a scheme, huh? Yeah. I see clearly, though. Yeah, a lot of the states of the Confederacy, have these bullion depositories coming up where they're going to own gold. You're not going to be able to get gold for your money, but they're going to own gold, which is kind of intriguing. The Confederate system for money was another intriguing one. The real question is where they got it. Fractional reserve banking is sinister at its core. Yeah, they're not changing fractional reserve. If you wanted to get rid of the debt, the first thing you would do is end fractional reserve banking. You would do what Hitler did. Well, they didn't have anything to back their currency in, so they just issued currency against GDP, kind of like the original colonial script or the greenback dollar. And you know what happens? You know what the fractional reserve banking clans do when you issue a currency outside of their purview, meaning you don't have a private central bank loan a Federal Reserve note into circulation. You have a treasury just issue currency. By the way, just so you know, JFK was the last president to issue a currency at the Treasury level. There's another group that wanted him dead. And there's another reason for a totally different, not that it's a different faction than the Jews. It's just not, they're not Israelis. They weren't Israelis at the time. But the Federal Reserve clans, the private central banking clans, are another group that didn't like Kennedy because he actually issued real money at the Treasury. He was the last to do it. Keep that in mind. Talking about the Kennedy assassination, there's another group that won't be brought up. There's a lot of people that had a motive to whack Kennedy. I don't know who had the ability to do it. Other than the CIA, maybe, and the Israelis, and maybe a mobster or two. Namely the Jewish mob, but, you know, it is what it is. New Utah law allows state vendors to be paid in gold and silver, and that's what's coming. Well, it's not coming. It's here. It's here, all these gold bullion depositories in all these quote-unquote Confederate states, which we all might have to move to. Might have to move to a Confederate state. Be wild. Maybe Germany can do that too, make Germany great again. Kick out the bankers. I mean, another system that is very similar to the Reichsbank is the Chinese system. Yeah. Gunlack, gold to 4,000, must Doge only way out. Okay, must Doge is the only way out, gold to 4,000. I think it might go there over time. I don't think gold is going there just yet. Let's go to April gold. Let me see what's going on here. Let's look at gold. Gold sold off. It wouldn't be surprised. We'll have to see if it holds this particular number. Gold's at 3,000 and it sold off today from 3,050 all the way back to, well, it had a low right above 3,000. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some type of big sell-off in gold. Yeah, the move from 3,000 to 4,000 won't be as neat as the move from 2,000 to 3,000. Let's put it to you that way. Or I should say 2650 to 3000. Yeah, the move won't be so neat. It could be a little rambunctious. I could be wrong too, but it wouldn't be surprised. You see all these people buying gold, and usually when you buy something, you got all these people from the like right off the street rushing in to buy something that aren't already accumulating it or haven't been accumulating it for a couple of years. They're rushing out to buy something. Usually it'll go down for a while. In a secular bull market, even in a secular bull market, you could see gold go down for several months. And all those people that bought gold will feel stupid because they bought it at what looks to be the high. When in fact, if they just hang on to it, it's probably going to new highs. There's no reason why the trend for gold, especially silver or even platinum, is over. There's no central bank. Every central bank worth a damn is buying the stuff. I don't know who's left to sell. It just depends on how much is out there, right? Yeah, FOMO, fear of missing out. Yeah, FOMO kicks in. Usually when FOMO kicks in, even with great traders and whatnot, they usually end up buying the top or puking out at the bottom. The way it goes. Gold really never appreciates as much as we hope or like to think it does. Yeah, I mean, Bitcoin is digital gold. That's what they got it geared as. It started out legit. Monero is legit in concept. But Bitcoin started out as legit. Now it's going to be made into digital gold. Do I think the dollar is going to be a fractional reserve system based on Bitcoin? I mean, by digital gold, am I talking about Bitcoin? It's on my mind. No, I think they're going to say real gold. And as well as digital gold. And digital gold is Bitcoin. Digital oil is Ethereum. As well as a lesser to extent, supposedly Solana, which has now been listed at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. So the three currencies listed at the CME, the forward rates, the futures. Just so you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and number three is Solana trading right now. That means they're serious about it. That means they ain't going nowhere. As far as our elite's concerned, that doesn't mean God won't come or Thor won't come and strike them down with a hammer or whatever. But, you know, until then, you've got a system in place, and the system is a digital system. And it's going to be, it looks like, some type of digital slavery. If we're segregated, we could survive, that's for sure. You know, Maritime industry warns USTR's China port fees could sink the U.S. economy. The Chinese have such a strong manufacturing presence right now that they could cause a lot of problems for us in the short term. But in reality, America with additive manufacturing, and America has enough white people who want to make money, additive manufacturing, even 3D manufacturing could put a lot of Chinese wares out of business. Instead of buying that broom from China, you just 3D manufacture it at your local 3D manufacturing facility. You know? In the short term, there's going to be a lot of turbulence with these tariffs, but it's just short term. That's really what Lighthizer's saying. And that would be true if they can get around the race issue. If the country were 90% white, I'd be much more convinced. The problem is the systematic problems across the board, you know. The financial system is the root of most of our problems. Well, it's the financial system. We exist it, by the way, in some pretty wild financial systems. Europeans, modern Europeans descend, we all descend from whites that existed in really cruel and unusual financial systems for centuries. Really think about it. They want to bring it back in a digital form. You know, just making sure the slaves don't revolt. Start a company to recycle crap into 3D printer material. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff like that. There's going to be a lot of white ingenuity that comes out of these tariffs from the direction that it's going. But as far as China has to really go toward internal demand. And as far as natural resources go, I mean, North America, right across the Bering Strait, you have Russia. You could put an underground. The Russians were proposing putting an underground tunnel underneath the Bering Straits and connecting Alaska to Russia. So you could truck in natural resources. Canada has a lot of natural resources, but we're going to be in a trade dispute in Canada because our trade deals don't benefit us. They're saying that any trade deal that doesn't benefit us, they're going to hammer things across the board to get these trade deficits under control, because the trade deficits are destroying the cost of living. You can listen to the interview. It's true. I just never thought I'd hear him say that and actually map out a plan to potentially do something to such an extent that they got everyone concerned, including the Chinese. Russia pounds Ukraine, Odessa, as Czech president visits the city. A lot of news coming out, a lot of war porn. Pentagon set up briefing for Musk on potential war with China. Access would be a major expansion of Elon Musk's government role and highlight his conflicts of interest. I'm telling you, the guy is running for global dictator. What's up, Moshpit 70? Yeah, whites invent the darndest things, that's for sure. The dollar value bounced back. It'd be a great time to start a business. Well, they're going to a new currency system. The dollar's not necessarily going to bounce back. You want it to be stable. You don't want it to be too strong. You don't want your currency to be ridiculously strong or ridiculously weak overnight. Over a period of time, a currency should appreciate if you're a manufacturing economy. Currency should appreciate. But generally speaking, most of these economies want things stable. Coach Redpill told us in 2025 was the year of the pivot to the China war. Did he? Because we got stuff on Coach Redpill coming up. Pentagon set up briefing for Musk on potential war with China. And people are saying, what is Musk? I'm telling you, he's running for dictator. He's dictators of some type of global order hiding behind the scenes. He's the Illuminati dictator or something. He can't run for president, but I'll be damned if he's not in the president's office every day. European military powers work on 5 to 10 year plan to replace U.S. and NATO. They should have done this 20 years ago. You can't depend on the people running the U.S. They're busy trying to save North America and save their banking empire. They don't give a shit about Europe, other than maybe going white only. Now, this is another thing they could do. They could do segregation. They could go white only migration. America has done white only migration before out of Europe. They're already talking about doing it in South Africa. The South African migration plan is a white-only migration. It's the first time it's been done since the 20s. They're not doing it explicitly, but it's implicit. Don't think they can't go white-only migration. The Jews are that clever. They understand their mistake in the 65 Immigration Act. It gave you the Tim Murdochs and the Mayo Monsters and the Nigger Balls Johnson and the Bob Matthews, the real Robert Matthews, the Trad Dad. The 1965 Immigration Act caused all their problems. How many times do we have to say we wouldn't even know they existed? We'd be in an all-white, 90% white, segregated country, minding our own business, working jobs, raising families, the Jews running Goldman Sachs. And we'd be looking at Israel like, okay, these little dudes with their yarmulkes on, they're not messing with me. But the 65 Immigration Act just rustled all our jimmies. Like, okay, let's move white genocide into high gear. But moving white genocide into high gear is a problem. What happens if you fuck it up? What happens if you have to roll back for your own survival? You see, surviving by moving country to country is one thing. They don't give a shit about us. But Jews can no longer survive by running from country to country. For the Jewish survival, they have to have a state. And a state can't survive without deals. I just don't know who all they made a deal with. But clearly, that's what we see with the Trump presidency. Jack DeCripper, that's a good handle. I'm going to be part of the replay gang, but just wanted to say thank you for what you do. Thank you very much, sir. We appreciate Rumble support. We're trying to get Rumble support to match Odyssey. So far tonight, it's more than Odyssey. But Odyssey, you know, is still going on. We'll see how Odyssey does with the changes. I don't know. I take support anytime you guys give, and I do appreciate support after the show as well. You guys can buy subs on Rumble. I don't mind. Rumble takes a hefty fee, but it is what it is. I got to play by whatever balls I'm giving to play with. You know? Entropy, I'd rather have Rumble. I want to build up Rumble over Entropy. I think Rumble at least pays out as soon as you have like $50 in there or something like that. Entropy pays out once every like 5 weeks. It's, you know, it's like a pain in the ass. I haven't had a raise in 20 years. Well, most white America can say that. Maybe even males and black American males that aren't college educated would say the same thing. White females, black females, they're the ones that had big benefit, as well as bankers. You know. Make your savings ammo and precious metals. There you go. European military powers work on a 5 to 10 year plan to replace U.S. and NATO. They're going to have to cough up a lot of money. They have the ability to make the weapons, though. Rheinmetall, whoosh. Good stuff. European chaos is back. EU leaders failed to agree on aid to Ukraine as German debt bonanza blows up pigs' yields. It's kind of funny they call it pigs. We had extreme volatility in the German Bund, the likes of which I have never seen. And this is over the plan to spend on this quote-unquote EU army. Europe works on 5 to 10 year plan for U.S. replacement in NATO. Good news is that Russia, which according to neocons can't wait to invade Europe, will wait 11 years to do so. Yeah. I, you know, if they're going to bring these civilizations into conflict, the Western civilization, these two powers into conflict, some type of planned conflict to roll out their new world order, which the banking, the gold depositories, the banking system in America is already there. It's already there. Crypto is already there. It's already the capital. U.S. is the capital of crypto. So this type of thing is very close. All we need is some type of catalyst, some type of crazy catalyst. I'm going to read this to you. This is pretty crazy. So they're saying, knows what happens to Coach Red Pill. Speaking, someone's talked about Coach Red Pill. 2025 said the pivot was to China. Well, Trump, historically, that's one thing Trump does for the oligarchy, historically, is he was a hawk on Japan and trade deals, and he's been a hawk on China since before China was China. So that's something Trump does for the oligarchy right there.
Это видео обращение, которое делают для госсекретаря.
This is a video statement addressed to Secretary of State Marco Rubio and FBI Director Kash Patel. I forget who this guy is. Let me absolutely clear, the security services of Ukraine, SBU, is not just covering up its crimes. It is directly responsible for the abduction, torture, and murder of American citizen Gonzalo Lira. The SBU, this is the Secret Service of sort of like the combination FBI, maybe even CIA in Ukraine, is also desperately trying to erase any evidence of its secret torture camp known as the Gem. I wonder if it's run by Israelis, where detainees were brutalized into giving false confessions and self-incriminations. Gonzalo Lira was one of its victims. Oh, I'm sure they tortured Gonzalo Lira quite a bit. You know, sitting there being, if you're going to be behind enemy lines, like you're rooting for the Russians in Ukraine, that's extremely dangerous. Whether you consider him a journalist or not. Here's the critical fact. Me and my lawyers have identified witnesses who were imprisoned in the SBU secret prison alongside Lira. Wow. These witnesses provided statements to my legal team confirming the existence of this illegal detention center and the horrors committed there. I don't know if this is true, by the way. But I can see that happening to Gonzalo Lira, just the average Ukrainian pissed off that he's sitting there, you know, in their country, married to a Ukrainian woman, rooting for the Russians. That's how flags work. That's how wars work. Someone say something about flags. Why is the flag decal upside down? I don't know. When my legal team abducted, I have been stripped of my right to defense in the courts. It's called military tribunals. Their disappearance is a deliberate act to eliminate those who can expose SBU's crimes. I'm addressing the Secretary and FBI to ensure these crimes are investigated, that Ukraine state-sponsored murderers face justice. And the truth is not buried under intimidation and fear. Look at what's happening right now in this very moment. They cannot even properly restrain me. Susie Waffen says, if you don't know it's true, if you don't know why it's true, why are you showing it? I'm showing it because it's newsworthy. I'm saying it hasn't been confirmed. Could be true. I'm just being honest. I mean, we don't have any proof. But assuming that there's like some kind of SBU type thing and they have a secret camp where they're took Gonzalo Lira to, or who knows what it is. You know, it could be a gymnasium somewhere and beat the hell out of them and killed them. I mean, obviously it went down somewhat like that. How formal it is, I don't know. But I'm just being honest. We don't have any confirmation yet. Hunter-killer drones with your father's 12-gauge. And the Ukraine-Russia war and its innovative use of drones has significantly changed warfare. Definitely has. Among the many measures being used to protect men and equipment from drone attacks is a shotgun. Yeah, the shotgun. Yeah, I'm always showing news like that. If it hasn't been confirmed, I'm just being honest. I'm not going to act like it's 100% true if I don't know it's... I mean, it hasn't been confirmed. He's in court on trial for his life. Now... maybe he has all kinds of information to offer the Trump administration because there's so much corruption in Ukraine. I'm guessing a lot of that stuff's going on. The drones these shotguns are being used to defend against are the most often cheap and fragile. A good example of widely used commercial drone that is regularly weaponized is the 3000 DG Mavic 3. Shotgun rounds optimized to destroy drones have also been developed. I didn't know they had shotgun rounds optimized to destroy Jones. Well, a slug. Well, I don't know that you'd want a slug. It's just kind of funny. We all, in America, nothing's more common in America, I would say, than a 12-gauge or a 20-gauge. 20-gauge do a number. 410 do a number with the right shot, I would imagine, right? But there's nothing more common in America than a good old-fashioned 12-gauge. Nice rifle-barreled with some double-aught bucks. Get after those drones coming down on you. Maybe necessary. Birdshot, well, it depends on the drone. These $3,000 drones, yeah, birdshot is probably all it take. You know, but they develop special shotgun shells, shotgun shot for these drones. Like you develop for a big bird, Lex. Let's say you had a big bird that weighed, you know, 5 or 8 pounds or whatever they weigh. Birdshot in a 12-gauge. Hilarious that USA Third World in a Gucci belt ran out of cash before Russia. I don't know if they're out of cash. 3-inch turkey loads would work. Yeah, that's a good point, David Smith. That's a good point. So if they're going to get drones after, if there's going to be drone warfare in North America, 3-inch turkey loads. Yeah, so get any relative you had who, I guarantee you, you all have a relative or a distant relative that loads their own shells for shotgun for turkey season or for pheasant season. 3-inch turkey loads. That's a good point. You might need some bigger BBs, but then again, maybe not. Maybe not. I have to look in turkey loads. Get some 3-inch turkey loads for the shotty. Probably some tungsten rounds, heavy shot. Maybe, but some of those turkey shots are ruthless. They don't spread out quite as far as fast, right? I don't know about that one. Let's see what else we got going on here. Let me, before I do the rest of the show, we got some interesting stuff coming up here. Let me take a break for a few minutes, and I'll be back, and I'll do the rest of the show. We got some stuff coming in from you guys. We got lots of crazy stuff out there going on. Yeah, they found out what's underneath the pyramids, and it's quite an ordeal. Somewhat expected after the articles from Scientific American in the past 5 years, but... you know, it's that time. It's the time on the planet. It's time on the planet. U.S. probably isn't out of cash, but they're scrambling. Well, I think they've got to roll out a new system. These systems have a finite lifespan, and so you have to roll out a new scheme and roll your old scheme into your new scheme. No different than any other Ponzi scheme. One way to keep it going is to roll it into a new scheme. Now, they could issue the one way out of their situation is just to issue currency at a treasury level. You'd be out of debt in probably 4 or 5 years. You'd be out of debt as fast as National Socialist Germany was out of debt. You could easily do it. You got to do. With tariffs and all the other things they're talking about putting in place, all you have to do is issue currencies. But to do that, you're going to have to get around the central banking clans. And again, JFK did do it in so much that he issued currency at the treasury level, but JFK got his head blown off. So, you know, you lose a lot of control over your citizens when you leave a debt system. You can't rely on any type of these digital currency controls or restricting bank accounts or restricting Amazon accounts, which is what they're going toward to try to control us. A Chinese-style credit system. You lose total control when you go to that other type of system. That is, Chinese have a modified system in place, obviously, but you lose a lot of control. And the only way I think to control a white population long term is through loyalty. And the only way you're going to get loyalty is ruled by the wet best. But there's no one in charge talking about loyalty. You know, 3-inch 12-gauge dragon's breath. Okay, let me look those up, Bupa. Thank you very much. 3-inch 12-gauge dragon's breath. See if I can get some of those. Call my shotgun supplier. Shotgun shell supplier. Hold on here. I've never heard of these. You guys hear of these? American Specialty Ammo, Dragon's Breath, quality approved. All right. 12-gauge exotic ammo. Oh, wow, okay. We got exotic ammo. Dragon's Breath, 12-gauge Dragon Breath, 2 3/4, 410 Dragon's Breath. Oh, wow. We cannot ship any ammo to Hawaii, Alaska, Massachusetts, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, California, Cook County, Illinois, New York City. All ammunition shipped to the remainder of the state of New York must be shipped through FFL for transfer. The best signal round money can buy, shots 100 feet of sparks to alert your location or signal distress. Oh, wow. Okay. It's like a flare gun, a fletchette. Each round is packed with hardened steel fletchettes. These were used in Vietnam to eliminate enemy soldiers in heavy bush. Heavy bush. I wonder if like a 3-inch fletchette wouldn't work. Fletchette. Ball and chain. Never heard of this one. Two slugs connected by steel wire. Great for cutting down small trees and thick brush. If you were dead on accurate, something like that against a drone would be lights out. Sample pack is $17.99 of all of the before. 12-gauge kitchen sink. Everything but the kitchen sink. Welcome to America. Everything but the kitchen sink. This 12-gauge round is loaded with birdshot, double butt shot, and a 50 caliber musket ball. Now, there you go. You got some American ingenuity there. Damn. We're talking about pain. 12-gauge doorbuster. Tiny lead shot filled cup. Acts as a solid projectile, all energy expelled on impact, blasting away your objective without penetration. I mean, there's a couple, there's a lot of these that could do a number on a drone, at least a cheaper drone. You've got to think about in Ukraine, the Russians and the Ukrainians are putting in specialty shotgun shells made for some of these more heavy hitting drones. $6 per round. Well, but it sounds fun. Well, I don't know, Mr. Johnson. If you're talking about your life is on the line in drone warfare, you don't really care about $6, do you? You don't want to get droned. What's up, Desi Mac? There are good videos on YouTube about it. Desi Mac would know that. She's got her shotgun by her side probably night and day. Good white woman she is. Crazy stuff. Learn something new every day. Dragon's Breath. I'll be back in a couple minutes, guys. Finish out the show. We got stuff going on. We got the Lord of the Frenzy. We've got crazy news coming out. But nonetheless, I'm here to answer all questions, or try to. A lot of it's just speculation. I don't know the future any more than anyone else. I'll be back in a couple minutes, guys. Have a listen to Hyreth. Yes, it's just a break. Calm down, guys. It's just a break. I need to go get more water. Let's see what I got coming up here. Let's go over these first before I go into some of the crazy stuff. There's a lot of crazy stuff coming out right now, but I expect it. It's the times we live in. Live in strange times. Seizing Russian assets would be an act of war, Belgian Prime Minister. Well, maybe that's what they want. Maybe they want war with Russia at any and all cost, you know? It's one of those types of things. Peepoo. I don't know. Some of you guys' handles just kill me. From Peepoo to Niggerballs Johnson. Anti-Vlad Alliance survival guides, mass evacuation, huge bunkers, and conscription. Now, let's get as many whites dead as possible. How the whole of Europe is preparing for World War III. Europe is gearing up for World War III with survival guides, nuclear bunkers, and conscription plans to survive a Russian invasion. Okay. They're defending from the Mongol hordes. Well, you know, the Russians may send in all the non-whites if they were to invade, which would kind of be kind of funny, just to get rid of them. I think some of that's going on in Ukraine, just like, well, send them to the front lines to get rid of them, like prisoners and Mongols and Eurasians. You know, preparing for war, European nations are getting ready for World War III. Well, especially the Finlands, the Estonia, the Latvia, Lithuania, Poland's. It also allows them to spend a lot of money on defense, which is actually good because they need to be able to defend themselves. Of course, they've already been invaded by the Middle East. You know, Norway, which shares a 121-mile border with Russia in the Arctic, is hosting a NATO exercise. Macron attends a meeting of chiefs of staff of the European Union. Macron is another figure like Elon Musk. He ain't going nowhere. And Trump as well. Chief of staff of the European Union and NATO armies last week. Sweden's Minister for Civil Defense, Carl Bolin, presents the new version of the preparedness booklet distributed to all households. Looks like a serious fellow right there. NATO weakened. Well, NATO was never big enough to stop any type of Russian aggression. It's just like mutually assured destruction, which you think mutually assured destruction between France and Russia. I mean, France has nuclear warheads, and they're going to work. You know, so we'll have to see where they're going with this. It's not good, though. They want the whole of Western civilization to look like Ukraine. And you know what Ukraine looks like? A bunch of dead white guys. Which is kind of the history of our race, isn't it? That's the truth. Netanyahu disputes court order freezing decision to fire Shin Bet chief. A lot of action in Israel all of a sudden. You know? Prime Minister says government will decide who heads domestic spy agency as protest. Basically, Netanyahu is telling the Israeli courts, and he's been telling them off and on for a while, to fuck off. Which Donald Trump is starting to tell our courts to fuck off too, which is, it's kind of what the Founding Fathers did. They just did it in a much more authoritative way. Katz threatens to annex, this is over in Israel, he threatens to annex territory in Gaza, implement Trump's voluntary migration plan for the Palestinians. Seize additional territories in Gaza while evacuating the population. The more territory it will lose will be annexed to Israel. The territory it loses. Yeah, we're implementing President Trump's plan. And they're going to create beachfront condos in Gaza and just... I don't know where they're going to deport Palestinians to Europe. I don't know. I mean, they want to do Jordan. They want to do Egypt. This could get Egypt involved. This could get Turkey involved. This could be... Well, it's been a mess. It's been a mess ever since the Israeli state started in that particular neighborhood, and it was destined to be a mess because Israel never really, like, authoritarian. They never really And they just never had the numbers to do the Arabs what, let's say, the settlers in America did to the Indians. That's what you, that's what Israel would have to do to the Middle East. And, of course, they got a lot of partners, the Abraham Accords. The whole top of the Sunni world is their are their partners. And we'll see. Trump eyeing Crimea as an international resort. The renowned American journalist, this is Hirsch, the famous Seymour Hirsch, renowned American journalist has claimed the U.S. president wants to do a business with Putin. And we're going to turn Crimea into a resort. Of course, why not? More American territory, right? Yeah, this is the news coming out, guys. And this is the news out of Egypt. They're finally releasing what's underneath the pyramid. Breaking discovery, massive structures found 2 kilometers below the Great Pyramid of Giza. That's a long ways. Archaeologists have discovered colossal vertically aligned spiraling cylindrical structures extending over 600 meters beneath the base of the Great Pyramid, leading to immense constructs far below. The discovery that rewrites history, advanced scanning technologies have revealed. Now, they've known these were there for a while then. These enormous subterranean formations, challenging our understanding of ancient engineering and architectural prowess. The sheer scale and complexity of these structures suggests a level of sophistication previously unimagined for the ancient builders of the pyramid. Could these hidden constructs hold the secrets to the true purpose of the pyramids, or perhaps the evidence of a lost civilization? What does it mean for our history books? This revelation prompts a reevaluation of technological capabilities of ancient civilizations. Well, what it says is that that ancient civilization was real to some extent. And where do you guys see the video? It's pretty crazy. I'm going to comment. I'm going to play a couple of these different videos and comment accordingly.
As observed in the three models are briefly summarized, these findings allowed us to construct a 3D model of the entire complex. The examination of dozens of tomographical images obtained from different angles using Capella Space and Umbra radars enabled a 3D reconstruction of most of the objects inside the Pyramid of Khafre. Below, we present some images from our 3D analysis. The analysis of the structures above Belzoni's chamber are intensely coloured spots which can be observed appearing in all tomographic images taken from different angles corresponding to the internal artificial structures. On the next page, it says that improvements of the signal-to-noise ratio revealing the internal structure of the 5Zs, consisting of 5 horizontal levels and a sloping roof. So this is the raw pictures of the data that they used to create their model. And this is the model. So it reads the tomography with another cross-sectional line showing the presence of vertical structures. And if you think that was pretty mind-blowing, it then goes on to say, as observed in the 3 model below the ground level, so ground zero of the main structure, vertically aligned cylindrical structures extend for hundreds of meters beneath the Giza plateau. Notably, 8 of these structures arranged in 2 parallel rows from north to south descend to a depth of 648 meters.
648 meters.
Merging into 2 large cubic structures measuring approximately 80 meters per side. These features are illustrated in the topographical images and models presented.
Well, no, this is true.
The paper then adds to that with some
it's a scientific paper.
Interesting detail, which is that the 8 cylindrical structures that have been identified in the tomographical image appear as vertical wells, which are hollow inside and surrounded by descending spiral pathways. It then goes on to describe the third step, which is a lot of the analysis they've done based on all this data that they've collected. So they say the next phase involved analyzing the tomographic data to determine the full extent of the underground structures beneath the Giza Plateau. The tomographic images clearly reveal that the structures exist beneath the plateau, extending below the pyramids of Khafre, Khufu, and Menkaure for approximately this 2 kilometers below ground. So, mind-blowing as all that is, there's still more to come. And this is just a little bit of the information that they have shared with us so far.
Look at that. That's below the pyramid. Now, the pyramids really gained their fame as twin pillars of Joachim and Boaz. Now, I'm not an expert on masonry. I don't know much about it, but I do know they show up there. I don't really like the way it's used there, but let me play more, and I'll go into the lore and legends. If you don't know, I'll tell you something about them that has always been speculation, no less than, well, a lot of famous people have visited the pyramids historically. That's for dang sure. Let's see what we got here. Let me pull that up. That's a good one. Okay. All right. All right. We got more to go. Let's check this out. This is the one that I believe Henrik is having this particular guest on, which there's going to be a lot of different takes on this. I'll give you the view from 10,000 feet. The rumor was that there was a very high civilization. You guys have heard it called many names over your lifetime. One name specifically, the A word. I've done many podcasts on it. The A word, which is Atlantis. Many of you think Atlantis was an island. Well, that's an allegory. One of the groups of Native Americans I've looked into the mythology of would be the Hopi Indians. The Hopi Indians are quite intriguing because they're one of these particular groups on the North American continent that had a good white brother named Bahana. It's either B or P, who came from the stars and taught them civilization and brought them from the old Redlands after the Redlands were destroyed by some great dragon at the end of their third world or something. That's neither here nor there. But at the same time, what's interesting about the Hopi is they say they live on Turtle Island, and Turtle Island is actually the continent of North America, but the continent of North America is technically a giant island. Kind of intriguing. But it's like an allegory they use. You know, we live on Turtle Island, but they're referring to North America. So when you're thinking of Atlantis as an island, It's flawed. I have no doubt that it would have been a planetary-wide civilization. But we would have to speculate that it was extraplanetary, which is also a very crazy road to go down. But nonetheless, we're going down this road. As they reveal stuff from our ancient past, let me get my head out of the way here. What were the pyramids used for? Well, that civilization, these two big pyramids, and especially the mathematics of the pyramid and whatever's underneath it, meaning the mathematics that it was built on, encoded in the structure is the mathematics of that civilization, of its physics. If you had a very advanced civilization that wanted to leave its mark on Earth, how would you build something that transcends time, that leaves a calling card, a signature? Well, you would do it through a monument, probably like this, that's buried deep underneath the earth, you know, in some type of mathematical code. Now, have they cracked the mathematics to it? I believe they have. And what it means as far as within physics. And we'll go into more of that here in a minute. I'll give you my take on it. And it's pretty basic and pretty straightforward, but that's always been not only the rumor, but it very well could be true. What it means for us, what whites nowadays, I don't know. The fabled white gods, well, who knows what else? There's a lot of other things potentially out there. Well, you have to remember at one time this pyramid was covered in limestone, and the top was gold. Right? Was some type of, and it was full of all kinds of stuff. Who knows?
Corrado Malanga from the University of Pisa and Filippo Biondi involved in radar and remote.
All right, this is coming from Glasgow. Hold on here. These are the particular scientists that are rolling this out right now.
Corrado Malanga from
University of Pisa.
The University of Pisa. And Filippo Biondi, involved in radar and remote sensing research with the University of Strathclyde, published peer-reviewed research in 2022 via MDPI entitled Synthetic Aperture Radar Doppler Tomography reveals details of undiscovered high-resolution internal structure of the Great Pyramid of Giza. Their research was conducted using SAR data, synthetic aperture radar, along with proprietary software developed by Filippo Biondi that transforms the radar signals into phononic information, which allows for the detection of millimetric vibrations. This cutting-edge technology is capable of revealing underground structures invisible to traditional methods and revealed internal structures never seen before. Having established their expertise in using SAR to explore pyramid structures non-invasively, a recent press release on their current project was released last Saturday. This March 15th press release summarized the key findings in the team's research of the second largest pyramid of the Giza Plateau, known as the Khafre Pyramid, and what they found was astonishing. The analysis of dozens of tomographic SAR images obtained from different angles enabled the 3D reconstruction of inside the pyramid of Khafre and deep beneath the surface of the plateau. Near the base of the pyramid, five identical structures are seen, connected by geometric pathways. Inside each of these are five horizontal levels and a sloping roof. Below these five structures are eight cylindrical structures, which appear to be vertical wells, hollow inside, and surrounded by descending spiral pathways. These eight vertically aligned cylindrical structures, arranged in two parallel rows from north to south, descend to a depth of 648 meters, where they all merge into two large cubic structures, measuring approximately 80 meters per side. The
That's insane.
Entire structure extends approximately 2 kilometers beneath the surface and extends beneath all three pyramids of the Giza Plateau complex. Mainstream Egyptology tells us that the Giza pyramids were tombs for pharaohs Khufu, Khafre, and Menkaure.
That's bullshit.
And that they were built around 2500 BC using ramps, sledges, and levers. But the redundant mathematics in their construction, which include pi, the golden ratio, and the speed of light, along with the testimony of today's expert architects, suggests that the official story does not hold up. The massive underground structure revealed by the recent SAR data shows what appears to be a mechanical or functional system, and this has been hypothesized in the past. Nikola Tesla believed that the pyramids could harness Earth's natural frequencies. This arguably inspired his experiments in wireless energy transmission and scalar waves. In The Giza Power Plant, Christopher Dunn argued that the Great Pyramid was a power-generating machine using resonant and acoustic forces to convert mechanical stress into electricity. In the Giza Death Star, Joseph Farrell proposed that the Great Pyramid of Giza was a weapon of mass destruction using a type of physics that he calls paleophysics to focus energy as a scalar weapon. The cylindrical wells could be conduits for energy or sound waves, and the cubic structures might serve as energy storage or stabilization units, akin to components in a large-scale weapon or generator. And the detection of vibrations in the pyramid's internal structures reflects all of these ideas. The Khafre project hopes to plan an excavation in order to discover more about this underground structure, but history shows that this will be very difficult to get approval for. Greg Reese reporting.
You're going to have a lot of people talking about this. I wonder how long the powers that be knew about these structures underneath there. Probably quite a while. You know, something's going on with them. We never knew it would be 2 kilometers down. That's crazy. So that's insane. We'll have to see where they're going with this one. That civilization existed, and yeah. That's kind of obvious. That's part of their particular And, you know, this type of thing, it's like the founding myth of Rome is what it is to these elites. And, you know, it's just the direction it goes. So it turns out this was relatively accurate representation of what's underneath the pyramids. Who knew? Well, not quite, but you're going in that direction. Something big and something crazy. From long, long ago, the Jews destroyed our civilization 12,000 years ago. Well, Scientific American was talking like several years back. The particular writer was the first time I've seen it in the mainstream, and I brought it to podcast listeners at the time. Was talking about the theory of there being a very high civilization a quarter of a million years ago. 12,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago would have been the last decline of that particular civilization, the final decline into the darkness, if you will, to be resurrected again with modern technology, I guess. Crazy stuff, though. Never thought I'd see it come. Usually they save events like this to bring out, well, we could be on the eve of all that, too. There's no reason. So to understand the difference here, in this type of physics, because they talked about it could be a power plant, it could be a weapon system. Well, what Nikola Tesla was big on, was creating, was really a combination of all of the above. When you start talking about scalar physics, you know, it's like I say, the difference between these two are polar opposites, by the way, Tesla and Einstein. Einstein focused on relativity. And it, just so you know, most of the time they don't teach this in grade school, but 99% of the universe is plasma. For instance, the clouds are plasma. I'm not saying they're allowed, but they're alive, but they're plasmas. Now, there is something called a plasma life hypothesis. You've heard of the electronic universe and this type of thing. But 99% of the universe is plasma. Only 1% is solid, liquid, and mass. Now, we humans occupy that 1% in solid, liquid, and mass. Einstein developed a theory of relativity that works pretty good for the 1%. What Nikola Tesla was developing was a type of physics that represents the 99%. What the National Socialists were looking at was the type of physics that represent the 99%. So you have an interaction between two types of physics, one solid, liquid, and mass, and the other, zero point. And when you're looking at the pyramid, it was always speculated that that civilization had mastered the zero point, for lack of a better phrase. And I'm not doing it justice. I'm giving you an example. And I don't think anything says it better. We're trying to get back to the heavens on some way, shape, manner, or form. And, you know, these elites have long planned on using events or technology they have behind the scenes or known technologies that they have behind the scenes to try to fool us. They've openly talked about it. You know, religious events, manufactured religious events, and to try to get us to accept some kind of new deal, to resolve Christianity into some type of new age hocus-pocus religion. Or there's several different angles of it. And the usual suspects are pretty much in every camp. And that's the road we're hurrying down right now. This was brought to my attention. This is Tom Sewell, and this all ties in together. Ancient civilization, which I don't think they're ever going to tell us completely what's true, but if there's structures like this underneath the pyramid, and we're going to assume that this is 100% accurate, the way it rolled out, the nature of which it's rolled out, the universities that are rolling it out, they're ready to start revealing stuff to us, at least in a controlled manner from our ancient past. Of course, the question I have, are any of those guys from that ancient past, and it is guys, are any of them still around? We'll get to that. So here we go. This is Tom Sewell, and this is pretty intriguing. This is very intriguing stuff.
It's probably 20 in the east, and I take photos of them, but I might start vlogging.
I never knew about this.
Just a little video out the front so you can see, because there's just so many of them. Basically, most of the 5G towers I notice in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me play this from the beginning. For some reason, it jumped ahead. Apologize. Let's go.
So I'm on the corner of Burwood Highway and Blackburn Road here in Melbourne in the east. And I'm going to start doing vlogs about this. But if you can see that, I'm outside the front of a church here that's on the corner. And this is like a giant 5G tower.
That's crazy.
And it's very hard to see. But you might just be able to see. You've got a 5G tower and you've got a cross just directly in the middle of it. This is probably not my favorite one. There's probably 20 in the east, and I take photos of them, but I might start vlogging just a little video out the front so you can see, because there's just so many of them. Basically, most of the 5G towers I notice in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne are all covered in 5G towers. Sorry, most of the 5G towers I've seen have got a cross inside them. Like, it's the cross is like in a cage. It's like encaged. There's a really freaky one on the corner of Warrigal Road and High Street, which I might vlog later today if I'm in the area. And the cross itself is made out of the 5G tower, and it's got cables running through it. And the metaphysics of this, the symbology of this, is really important. It's really, really important. It's like the virus itself, like a spiritual virus, is coming out and it's strangling everything. It's taking hold of everything. And I did a post or a podcast recently, or a video, I can't remember. And I said, why does it always have to be a church? Why is it always churches? Did the church give permission for this? Why do they feel that it's their public service to put these towers here? It's just important symbology. I'm not going to go into any conspiracy theories about 5G specifically, but this is obviously a symbol of the fourth wave technocracy. It's a symbol of the industrial revolution that we're going through, the future industrial revolution. And the fact that it is almost captivating or strangling Christianity, I think, is really important. As I said, I'll do more of these with all the freaky.
Well, actually, I would submit that they're probably going to use technology to roll something out. Now, the fact that they have these at churches, I don't know the reason for that. Whoever asked, my take on it. I don't know. This is the first I've heard of that. I know of 5G towers are everywhere in America, but I've never seen them built at churches with crosses on it. It has all kinds of different nefarious potential. I don't know that 5G could be used to roll out some type of trickery, and I don't know that it couldn't be part of a system. It would have to be a lot more than just the 5G. It would have to be part of some type of system. But nonetheless, fascinating. And, you know, hold on here. Okay, let me see what I got here. I got some stuff you guys are sending in. Let me see this letter. This letter is kind of interesting. This letter came in today, but I get stuff like this from time to time, and I told him I'm going to read this. Let's see what we have. Let's see what we have here. First, I want to say I love the format of your show. It's the only one I've watched. I've been watching for about 4 years. Me and my dad watch the Sunday show every week. Thanks for being a class act and not spurging out all the time. I've been in white nationalist spheres for about 7 years, followed all the shows. One thing that has me irking is that the people, no matter how good a news piece is, always tries to bring up the Jews or shit on it. I've come to the conclusion that people like that are scared of things actually happening in a positive way. It's just online stuff. It could be it's usually a combination of things that would mean that they would have to do something other than just talk online. They just live online. And I think I've seen them for years, and I've seen the type for years. I do consider some of them my friends, or did, if you can consider internet people friends. I think one of the worst things our guys can do is just live online in chat rooms. I'm talking about my own experience. I was online way too much last year. Come October, I became bedridden to esophagus disease. I stopped going online in January. Happy to say that I'm back in great shape. I was literally on my deathbed. I really thought that was it. Luckily, I have a good family. Point is, I feel bad for some of the super negative in the chats. It's tough out there, and I don't hold it against them. I just think that they have to learn that there's more to life than Jews and Hitler. Not saying that they aren't important. I never lost faith in my people, my white people, and my white heritage. Sorry for rambling. Just wondering if you think it's a legitimate take. Thanks again for the shows. I've noticed over the years you look a lot healthier and seem in better spirits. Oh, yes, in April I'm going to start cold plunging in a mountain stream. There you go. Going to get a weekly – going to sub the weekly podcast too. Well, I appreciate that. Let me say something about Wignats, because I'm always asked questions about the only one that's nice to them. I consider Wignats to be my people. The challenge for our race is religion. And the challenge that comes out in American white nationalism, whether it be 1.0 and 2.0, I would say is post-alt-right. Post-alt-right white nationalist 2.0, we have a percentage of mixed race people that identify with our cause online, at least online. I think that's simply a fact. White nationalist 1.0 we'll call like the land of Tom Metzger. White nationalist 2.0 we'll call the land of anything goes online, you know, post-alt-right. But to understand our particular position is to understand World War II. But you can't understand World War II unless you understand religion. Because World War II, to white nationalists, always has been, always will be in America like religion. Now, how they handle religion in a race that's become so unbalanced is the challenge, right? But to understand it is to understand the Lord of the Frenzy. This particular character here, this is the, what is it, the Wild Hunt? The Year Hitler Was Born, an artist did this. It's pretty interesting if you look it up. I've showed it before. You guys are sending this in. Apparently, I haven't watched the show, just so you know, whoever sent this in and others. I have not watched the show, but I will watch the show on Carl Jung that War Strike did. But they brought up this particular painting and the fact that it came out of Hitler Was Born. Our race is actually a very tight gene pool. And at any given time in any of your families, someone's going to look like someone. For instance, you might have a cousin that looks just like your brother. You might have an uncle that looks just like you from your mother's side. But he shouldn't, because technically you're only connected through, you know, like a second. You know, you're it's kind of like a distant uncle, but yet at the same time he looks just like you. And it's kind of eerie. You have all this kind of thing that happens within the regards of various different races, especially our race, because we all come from a handful of mothers and a handful of fathers. And at any given time, you have what the Asians call reincarnations, or these harmonics, if you will, meaning you're not the sum total of your parents. We know you're the sum total of not only your parents and grandparents, but all your ancestors, at least from a metaphysical perspective. You know, so at any given time, you have these characters come out, especially in like all of our families, that look like characters from the distant past. And Uncle A, you know, they're drawing Wotan. He just happened to look like Wotan. The German artist renditions of Wotan continuously. I mean, this is the head of Mimir. This is from, I think, 1905. I've never showed this one on stream, but I'm well aware of it. Now, it strangely looks like Hitler as well. It's from 1905. But again, many of you, many of the listeners, some of the female listeners are going to look like a distant aunt, a distant cousin, a lot of similarities, which is like technically you have your own mother and father. You have, you know, you might have the same grandparents or not, but you know what I mean. You're basically a reincarnation, what the Asians would call it. It's technically not a reincarnation because you're you and your cousins. You're two distinct people, but you're a harmonic of the distant past, meaning you're a collection of all your ancestors. And at any given time, shit just starts bubbling out in these tight gene pools. And despite of what you might be told, let's say you're a 21-year-old white guy listening to this, and you're told that most whites in America are mixed. Well, 98% of white America is just white America. The only thing they're mixed with is other Europeans who all come from six mothers and three fathers, or something like that, in ancient times. And think about how tight the gene pool was 6,000-7,000 years ago and where we are now. So keep that in mind. When white nationalists in America call like someone a brother and whatnot, it's like serious. The same was true for other, I'm not saying it's any different for certain African tribes or the Chinese, the Han Chinese, literally all being related. Right, but Europeans are told the direct opposite. And we are individualistic, but in reality, we are all harmonics of the distant past. You may look like a cousin, brother, uncle, or even Wotan, the god of the frenzy. But to understand the white nationalist position, to understand the red pill, the position a person goes through when you first find out about, let's say, the Jewish question, World War II, black on white crime, there's a handful of different experiences that can trigger the fever. I call it the fever. With Ye 88, I called it the fever because it was the first time I think we could openly see American white nationalists and as well as others, co-ethnics in Europe, we could see a non-white catch the fever. I'm not talking about now. Now he's kind of like a showman doing crazy stuff. I'm talking about when he first caught the fever. He was upset over his Jewish handler, putting him away in the hospital, drugging him up, and the crazy stories and stuff like that. And you could easily see how that would trigger someone to start talking about the Jews. It could trigger the fever, you know. But to understand the Wignat position is to understand the fever. But to understand the fever is to understand the god of the frenzy. The lord of the frenzy. Some call him the frenzy god. The lord of the frenzy. Some just call him Uncle A. Some just call him Uncle. But is to look into the eyes of this particular primordial archetype of our race, the Germans called Wotan. So all of you have seen it. All of you have seen the Lord of the Frenzy, the Wignat Spurgery. Now, some of it online is well duplicated and faked. I know that some of them aren't legit. But I also have met enough of them to understand the fever. And I went through it myself. There was a time when I first read Jewish Tribal Review and you catch the fever. It's the Lord of the Frenzy. It's the eyes of Wotan staring you in the face. It is what it is. But it's something you are unique among all the other whites on the planet outside of the, I'm talking about whether it be, even if you're watching this from Europe, you're watching this from Germany, you don't identify as an American, but at the same time, you understand the fever. You understand the Lord of the Frenzy. That frenzy irrational position, the psychosis that Jung talked about as not a negative, which the Jewish, you see, Sigmund Freud talks about this in a very negative sense, this psychosis. The authoritarian personality, blah, 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 blah. This psychosis is not a bad thing. I've never treated it as a bad thing, and I've never treated it like Wignats or any of those going through this process are as bad people. Psychosis can be an entirely positive thing. Our particular system tends to come down on it pretty hard. We don't have berserker armies going, I mean, as of yet. We do have Christian nationalists calling for some things, but it's to understand that. And nothing has power over understanding. One of the reasons I support Patriot Front is because they take young guys with the fever and they start channeling the energy into other places. Because if you're walking down the street throwing Romans, wearing a certain type of t-shirt, let's say swastika, you know, I'm not going to sit there and rip on you endlessly. I understand the fever, but I also understand that this type of system comes down on that type of psychosis very hard, very hard. And Patriot Front is trying to channel it into more of a Boy Scout 10.0 or, you know, I call it basic training 2.0, something that is that'll keep them out of jail, at least. This type of ethnocentrism, which tends to go toward this type of situation. And there's also phases where someone goes into a particular phase, then comes out of that particular phase. But nonetheless, it is a psychosis, and it's not a negative thing. It's not necessarily a negative thing. It's the ideal of surviving it. Surviving staring into the face of the Lord of the Frenzy. And that's what he's called. That's Wotan is considered a frenzy god. These frenzy states, that is, in my opinion, in modern Aryan males, it's extremely rare, but quite common among all you. and that's why you're special. So don't let anyone tell you the psychosis is a negative thing. It isn't. It wasn't to Jung. And Jung and Sigmund Freud are very similar to Nikola Tesla and Einstein. They're polar opposites. Jews are your polar opposite. That's all they are. They're our polar opposite. European Jewry, they look like us. We don't look like them. We always share one trait in common. And Whitaker, the one thing Whitaker would do that rattled me nonstop, because a lot of times talking to Whitaker at any given time, I had caught the fever. You know, Aryans suffer from self-hatred. But Whitaker would say, unfortunately for us, it's not Semitic. The one thing European Jewry shares in common with us are genes. They have our genes. And they've got a lot of self-hatred. America, you know, Tucker Carlson sitting on there with Lighthizer lamenting the fall of WASP America, they could have prevented it through some ethnogenesis collective like the Hell's Angels the early example of the Hell's Angels. And they could have done a few things. They could have made a few moves, but they didn't do that. And the reason they didn't do that is through fits of self-hatred. Whitaker would talk about this. WASP, where art thou, Sting? The fits of self-hatred that affected our WASP elites post-World War II. Yeah, I mean, they like to blame the Jews, and there's a lot of blame. I won't hold them back. But, you know, Hitler is something that's going to keep coming back. Everyone's like, well, you just get rid of, you know, nationalism or get rid of national socialism within the confines of nationalism. I would tell you as a propagandist that you always have to address Hitler some way, shape, manner, or form, or it's going to come bubbling out. I addressed it. I addressed it in my own unique way with anti-racist Hitler, but I addressed it. Hitler, because of the frenzy nature and the survival, the actual primal survival of our race, which is what each one of you feels deep down inside, especially at the height of the frenzy, it really just like overtakes that individual. At the height of the red pill or whatever you want to call it, you know, the god of the hunt flying through. But anyways, there you go. That's my answer to the question. And I appreciate you guys sending super chats in with thoughtful comments after the fact. Now, I'll just give you my 10 cents. Take it for what it's worth. But I ran around a minute and I thought about this stuff a minute. And psychosis wasn't a negative to Jung. You know, it's just, it depends on where you channel it. I mean, at one time we sent out berserkers, all kinds of different things. Sigmund Freud, it became the psychosis of the Aryan male became something to try to cure. American white nationalists were the ones in the 20th century that said, no, it needs to be unleashed. You know? Remember that one story I read you guys about those bank robbers? These famous bank robbers that took forever for the police to kill in a gunfight? And they were crazy Odinists who thought they were berserkers reincarnated. And they couldn't kill them. They were like full of holes. You guys remember that story? It's kind of a crazy story. Guys promote Kabbalah and don't even know it. I don't know where that's coming from, White Air. Wignat war in the chats. What's the Wignat war over? All right, here. But anyways, that's my particular response. Yeah, Hitler is always going to be around. There's always going to... I mean, I'm not an esoteric Hitlerist in any way, shape, manner, or form, but I don't sit there and, like, panic. I understand it. I mean, this is from 1905. It looks very familiar, doesn't it? You know? Mimir, of course, Odin would carry around Mimir's head. Mimir, of course, is shown as a horned god in the God of War, which is kind of interesting. I don't know anything about the game, to be honest with you, whoever asked this question, but the horns are a sign of knowledge, not wisdom. That's Asiatic. Most of what we call Semitic, Whitaker would call Asiatic. At the root of modern anti-Semitism is sort of like an anti-Asian, a reaction to Asian influence coming into our society from the Middle East. He would call it Asiatic. But the horns represent wisdom. Now, I don't know why they did it. He's got tattoos all over his face. over his head, and he's got horns. But the horn god, there's one from ancient Europe. This is the Celtic horn god. It's a symbol of knowledge. But anyways, these two sides, you know, it's two peas that aren't in the same pod. Freud and Jung. And it is what it is. Take it for what it's worth. Ancient civilizations. Hitler looks just like Wotan, or Wotan, or the drawings of Wotan look just like Hitler. Well, this is Mimir. This isn't actual Wotan. This is Mimir was the god. Well, you can look it up. Fascinating stuff, though. I don't have anything more for you tonight. I appreciate all the support. Let me make sure I got everything, got all the questions down and everything else. But, you know, here to answer, here to give you my take. I don't think there's anything, in the words of Jung, there's nothing necessarily unhealthy about psychosis. It's just overcoming it to an extent, or controlling it to an extent that it doesn't end you. You're not in an ideal environment. It's kind of what's interesting about the Lighthizer interview over tariffs is that you realize you're not in any way, shape, manner, form in any type of legitimate white society. They realize that, and it's like, you know, we've got to do something for the working class. The working class is dying. Well, it's a byproduct of a system that's long abused us to such an extent that it tried to wipe us out and replace us with non-whites, and now it's having to peel back to save itself on some level. If it's not too much too late, I don't know. But I appreciate you guys tuning in. And Monday, there will not be an interview. I got Emily Yukas scheduled, but I had to kind of mess with dates. And I'm getting taxes done as well Tuesday morning. So it's kind of like one of those messed up situations. Monday it will not, but there will be a paywall podcast. There wasn't one yesterday. There won't be one tomorrow. Monday night I'll release it. There'll be a paywall podcast. And I'll expand on another one of Tucker's interviews recently, which caught my attention. But, you know, big believer in that ancient civilization. My interest in Hitler has long waned. I realize it's just religion. You're dealing with World War II becomes religion because the truth to whites becomes religion. You know, this is how it works. And so religion is not something we can really solve. I've never really had to discuss religion to get out like white genocide memes or anti-racism code word for anti-white. You don't. I've had to address it through propaganda in a roundabout way, through anti-racist Hitler. So I do understand the ideal that, well, you can't have a discussion about nationalism without discussion of National Socialism or third position. I do understand that quite well. And it's an opinion I respect, but you don't necessarily have to do that. I don't think you necessarily have to do that in a propaganda level to do certain things online. I don't think it's necessary, but I do understand the fever. and these two, and the differences between these two, which are going to become critical probably for the coming years. But it's all fascinating stuff. And was there something else I was going to say? What other questions do we have here? And again, I appreciate you guys sending stuff in here. I don't think I have anything else. If something else comes up, I'm sure I'll hit it in the paywall podcast or Sunday. But the Lord of the Frenzy is what he's called. And you know it firsthand. Everything goes with it. You know all about this guy. He looks like a mean dude. And this guy. But it is what it is. I appreciate you guys tuning in. And, you know, it's something to be looked at, observed, and not get carried away. You want to keep your head when everyone else is losing theirs. If they roll out a scenario, which I think is highly likely they have planned, because they're probably worried about their banking system failing, and banking and religion go together, believe it or not. They're quite likely to do something technological. The idea that Elon Musk is in charge is most telling, because he's in charge. He's the face of a rollout of new technology. Now, I don't think the technology is all that great, like Tesla cars. I don't think they're all that great. But nonetheless, he's the face of new technology, if you really think about it, for an elite, for an oligarchy. And that oligarchy in North America is ready to roll. So as far as churches and 5Gs, which is not something I've ever thought of or ever seen before in Australia, they can use technology and they're going to freak out a lot of people if they do. Think in terms of COVID times 10 or COVID times 5, meaning how many people were freaked out over that? There was no technology involved, really. I mean, they're not really doing anything except using mass media, you know, to freak the shit out of people. But imagine them using technology and religion. Think about that one for a minute. And, of course, their big question over the years has always been, how are they going to respond to this? Which is a question I have. I don't know. Just keep your head when everyone else is losing theirs. That's what I always say. But you're in a special position. It doesn't matter whether you're in Ukraine or a Slav in Russia or Lithuania or Finland or America or Canada, United Kingdom, Ireland. If you're with the business, meaning you've had the fever, what's called the red pill, if you understand it and you understand this then you're going to understand this conversation and you're going to be ready for it. I mean, you're here for a reason. There you go. I'll be back Sunday night, 5:30, guys. Cheers, and thanks for tuning in.